Starship Rocanjo with Anna DePlantes. Yes. Off for another day of broadcast info.
Here's something to get excited about, Ro. Yeah. It's National Candy Corn Day. So, you know, I know.
The worst of the corn.
You really don't like the candy corn?
No.
No.
I only eat the top part and I leave the rest.
The candy corn company? It's like, we're kind of crap.
We just make them because people buy them.
Yeah, they were highly inexpensive, and people like to throw them, and they kind of look like they should be in those pumpkin heads.
I think it's one of those things that after the age of 10, you lose a taste for them. But I think kids love them. I just gave them to my daughter yesterday because we were doing like this craft with them, and she's like, oh, these are really great. What are these?
It's because they're sugar.
They fit almost perfectly in your nose, too, which is, I think, an important thing if you're a child.
To figure out.
It's an important thing to
it's a life lesson.
Yeah. And right. And then they fit perfectly in your nose. If you're a certain size, you'll end up at the emergency room with a doctor and forceps.
So do Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
Don't put a Tic Tac up your nose.
Right.
Jimmy Fallon says, perfect way to ruin both candy and corn. So he's not a fan. I think the kids love it, though. It's just one of those things I never trusted in my trick-or-treat bag because it was never wrapped, right? It was just, they just drop it in
now,
there.
Now, you never trusted it, or you didn't trust it for your daughter?
I don't think I ever trusted it. Maybe when I was a little
even
bit
when
older.
Even when you were
kid. Little. Yeah, there was, remember all those things that were going on when I was growing up. We sort of were very careful
turns
about your trick-or-treat bag.
It turns out that whole thing that there were razor blades in the apples
was
a complete urban legend.
Made up.
And even though there were hospitals who go, well, bring it in and we'll x-ray your bag for
remember
you.
Remember that? You used to do that.
Yeah. I don't know anybody who ever did do that.
I didn't do it, but you'd see it like on the news. You'd see people bringing them in and they'd show that they were concerned.
What a simpler time in medicine that they had a hospital had time and they could use expensive equipment to
can you imagine?
To x-ray your bags. I don't think we do that anymore. I don't think that's what goes on.
No, I don't think so. I think they're probably overwhelmed with people dealing with actual illnesses to worry about that. But
right.
Yeah, you remember? That was something that somehow people were so concerned that they did.
And we're going to get paid. And the hospital's now like, I'm going to get paid. Well, I got my arm fell off. I'm going to get paid.
Parents today are the machines.
Yeah, I mean, first of all,
they're crazy. They wouldn't let
anybody eat an apple. Like, if somebody hands you an apple, don't eat it. First of all, then the reason the apple was always a suspect thing is because, like in every fairy tale, the apple is the thing that killed the princess.
Adam and Eve, the
poison.
Yeah, the apple, right. That, the apple with the, it started. That's the original
sin.
Terrorist fruit is the apple.
Don't ruin the taffy apple. I give those out.
Yeah, those are people.
You
give
now
those.
That they're individually wrapped.
Yeah,
I used to give them out un-individually wrapped, but only to the people I knew, the kids I knew.
Mm-hmm. Who would give up just an apple? Worst giveaway ever.
Great question, Kevin.
Judy, I happen to like very much your concept of the taffy apple. But again, don't forget, I make the most delicious balls of popcorn.
No.
That I use with a combination of love, sugar, caramel melt-aways.
And candy corn.
And Lysol. Goodbye.
I'm just envisioning the ball sticking to his hand. And can't even get
here
into
you go,
the,
kids. And
that's
true.
I smell socks every time he says popcorn balls.
I think of the cat hair he discussed. Sometimes accompanies
without a cat.
The balls.
That's the best part.
That is a weird deal with that.
It
with
is
him.
A little muggy in his basement. A little damp down there.
Yeah. Even in the new building, his basement is still muggy.
Can we get those x-ray machines going again?
He somehow was able to get the smell of the old basement into the new basement.
Yeah. Transferred
Musty's
everything.
Hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
It just follows him around.
Yeah. So it's really bad if kids are allergic to cats, when they eat his popcorn ball, their throats shut. And that's a real problem. You have to be in the emergency room. You need an EpiPen when you go by this guy's house.
Yuck.
Now peanuts to all the kids.
Exactly. Let's weed He fakes it as something else, though. That's the thing.
Let's weed the weak ones out.
Right. He adds peanut derivative to things just to see how many kids will have go into anaphylactic shock. It's not good. Do not go to creepy uncle's basements to get candy.
Luckily, I think you can kind of pick that out when you meet him. You're just like, all right, thanks.
He makes a nice chili on Halloween night, though. Spam chili.
It is funny when you follow people, though. Like, you know, like you get into a neighborhood and you're just following other trick-or-treaters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going wherever they're going. And so they make a turn into the house where you're like, or it might be like a three flat.
Yeah.
With that 1950s door that's got like the little, it's got the rectangle like window at the top of it.
Super heavy door.
Yeah. And then there's that guy there and there's already kids in back of you. You're the kid, the kids in front of you, the kids in back of you. You don't really know any of these people.
Right.
And you see them, but you realize, I don't want to be a part of this, but you don't know how to get away from it either.
How do you get out of line when you spot the creepy uncle giving out the candy? Yeah, I think you just go along with it, and then you take the candy and throw it away. Because I remember last year we were kind of creeped out. There was a guy who did not live on the street we were trick-or-treating. He was just walking down the street with a bag, and he was handing candy to kids.
With a Halloween mask on.
There's a red flag for
I was
you.
Like, no, that one doesn't look right. That doesn't look right to me. And so everyone sort of just grabbed the candy that he had placed in the bags and took it away.
He parked his van down the street, walked over the neighborhood.
Exactly. You kind of envision.
There's the kittens. There's the cat hair. There were kittens in that van.
It wasn't popcorn balls, but it was something that was very creepy.
I don't think there were kittens.
Oh.
All right. Can we...
Happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the eve of the
safe, safe trick-or-treating, little ones.
Mm. Yeah. Oh. Make it fun.
Oh, my God. The way Judy said that was so scary.
little ones.
Hey, I give taffy apples out. People love coming to my house.
Be the full candy bar house. That's the best house.
Oh, yeah. I know, right?
I haven't figured any of this out yet.
Clearly.
The first thing is to buy candy, Ro.
I haven't done that
yet. Or how about be home?
Well, I'm not going to be home.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I got to check and see what the hours are.
Take one, please, and then the first kid that gets there gets the whole bowl.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm not sending Violetta back, because last time I did that did not go well.
Mm-mm. I thought it went well. The kids enjoyed the chocolate syrup.
Yeah, you know what? The parents didn't. All right, let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The Rounders got theirs today.
All right, then. I was really enjoying the music from that commercial. I
was,
I don't know
too,
what happened
then
to it.
Abruptly ended.
Yeah. I sort of abruptly ended, too. Hold on. Let me try this.
Okay.
Because Ben Bradley is standing by. Hold on one second. Can I try to hit another commercial? We had this last week.
We did. We had the same kind of issue.
The commercials aren't working.
Don't celebrate that.
I don't know.
We need
them. But I kind of like the excitement.
The chaos.
Yeah. It's kind of exciting. This is when the magic happens, people. When I was just a listener, I loved when things didn't work.
Ben Bradley, you're not working right now, are you?
Oh, boy. I love it when a plan comes together or doesn't.
It's more fun when it doesn't.
As we often used to say when, you know, the video system would crap out, we'd have a newscast with no video, not at my current station, previous place. We'd often say, number one station, third largest market in the country, and we have no video.
Well, you just guys make something happen.
You guys go out of audio there a lot for the morning show, and I love when they have those little.
Isn't it great?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so funny.
Kolkmeyer the other day had to draw her weather graphics by hand.
Yeah,
she draws a great United States of America.
I know. I would have left out like 5, 6, 10 states, but she was.
I wouldn't even know which ones I'm leaving out.
But I love the Larry and Robin holding up the boards of what they were thinking and talking. It was just so
And that was
fun.
A brand new control room. First day, I think, in the new control
That'll
room.
Happen.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
All right.
Made the most of it.
Why don't we talk about what's coming up, and then we'll try to... the most important thing on this show are the commercials. Let's face it. That is true. Mm-hmm. That is a statement of fact, and we'll try to get those in. But... let us now talk about what's coming up on the 4, the 5, the 6, the 9, the 10.
Yeah, we're watching this heart-wrenching story out of northern Indiana. Three kids from the same family killed when a pickup truck barreled through a bus stop. The school bus was stopped. Its stop arm was extended, according to police. Lights were blinking. The kids were crossing the street when a pickup truck, 24-year-old driver, apparently just kind of barreled through, hit these three kids. They've now been identified as 6-year-old twins, Xavier and Mason Ingle, and their sister, 9-year-old Olivia, all killed this morning. And there was also an 11-year-old boy who was hit from a different family. He survived, but he's badly injured in critical condition. And just as heartbreaking, There were kids on the bus when this happened. There were a couple of kids on the bus. There were a couple more kids at that bus stop waiting to board the bus, and they witnessed all of this.
Horrifying to think what they're going through, too, and those families of the kids. So they were just walking across the street and were hit by this pickup truck. I understand the bus was school bus was stopped with its arm out.
Right, and this was a rural road, almost a highway, if you will, two-lane highway. Speed limit there, most stretches, 55 miles per hour, though this was in a particularly curvy section of the road where the speed limit goes down to 45 miles per hour. But again, authorities, they're saying that this school bus was stopped, its lights flashing.
Doing all the things a school bus has
right.
to do.
Supposed when, to do when, it
when
stopped.
The pickup driver hit this group of kids that was crossing to get on the bus. Now, early indications are from police. Alcohol does not appear to be a factor in this crash. The 24-year-old driver of that pickup did stop. They're obviously doing drug testing now, but early indications are alcohol, drugs, not a factor. Our Sean Lewis has been at the scene for the last couple of hours or so. This is a small, tight-knit community here, about 50 miles or so south of South Bend. Imagine what that community and that school, elementary school where they all went, is going through today.
Horrifying. Horrifying. And it's, in this time of year, too, when, kids are running around anyway, right? The kids are on the street. I mean, every parent now, you just can't imagine not just clutching your kids that much tighter. And when you hear a story like this, just absolutely heart-rending, as you said. All right, and Tom Skilling, who's going to join us coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, he is telling us that it might rain on the kids tomorrow.
No.
And then the adults who are wearing starter jackets were showing up with their jewel bags. And there's like a grandmother with them. And it doesn't speak a ton of anything. It doesn't really say much. But she shows up there and just opens up the jewel bag.
I had a homemade E.T. costume when I was a kid, and it was, not plastic. This stuff was homemade, hand-sewn, and it rained, and my parents made me put a garbage bag over the costume, thinking
the
that
worst.
That was somehow, some clear garbage bag would make
it
all
better. Were you sewing your own costume back then?
No. No, and I was actually, I was so humiliated, right? Because as a second grader, which I think is when that came out, everyone else's parents had just bought the crappy plastic E.T. costume.
And
I'm the only one in the full head to toe.
Who did this for
you? Your mom, probably, right?
This is my stepmom, yeah.
Oh,
she was great.
See, that's so sweet.
I mean, and she spent days on it, and I was such a cruddy kid that I was mortified that I didn't have the plastic E.T. costume like all my friends.
Well, you think about growing up in Chicago, how many Halloween costumes are ruined by having to wear coats over them raincoats, right? You you almost plan that into the costume sometimes. Try to figure out what happens.
I grew up in apartment buildings and we just got in the elevator.
You didn't even have
we never had to go outside.
You never went outside? You just went trick-or-treating door to door?
23 stories of deliciousness.
Now, did you then still egg people's apartment doors or how did that work?
No,
we were down and get the doorman with you TP'd the doorman.
No, and you just go knock on the doors, and then you have to. So it's back then. That now in those buildings you have to have a list. There's a list of apartments you can go to. Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
We just went to every list. Yeah, and just kicked on the door, and then whatever's going to happen.
I bet you got a lot of full size candy bars though, Ro.
Exactly. All right, Ben. We'll see you 4, 5, 6, 9, 10 on the WGN News tonight on WGN TV. We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got the WGN Radio News coming your way in 2 minutes. All right.
Everything's fine?
No.
Carry on?
No.
Keep calm?
No.
Carry on?
No. Hold on a second. We're getting... So what we learned here is that my control board, my side of the cockpit over here.
Yeah. All the buttons in front of you.
Is not properly working.
Classic technical difficulty.
They had to bring my whole part of the cockpit down and then back up in the newscast. So, Judy, thank you very much for indulging.
Well, of course.
And
I didn't want you to crash and burn.
We still, of course not. We still don't know what could happen here. Stay tuned. Almost anything could happen at this moment.
This always happens around this time on Halloween.
Yep.
Were things blinking on your board or to give you a clue that it wasn't working, or did it just stop working?
Ladies and gentlemen, she's Captain Franken. We're having a bit of a technical difficulty up here. We Well, the entire cockpit has gone dark, and there's one blinking red light.
That's not what you want to hear.
Call your family, tell them you love them.
If you have,
where's the vodka?
If you have a god that you pray to, I suggest you do it now. You know, you have a lot of choices when you fly. I'd like to thank you for flying, WGN.
Oh, gee.
We should be on the ground in about 14 seconds.
Oh, gee.
Quick landing.
I'm glad we could laugh about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe too soon, but it is. It's a. Just please, everybody.
We're not an airplane. We're fine.
Yeah. It's a, right. Exactly. All right. The president. I seem to remember. Can I just ask you this question?
Yeah.
I seem to remember, like in 2010. Remember, like the Tea Party people, and they would they'd show up at rallies wearing three cornered hats, and they would you know, guys would be dressed as Thomas Jefferson. Right, it's the founding fathers.
Yes.
Every once in a while, you go, I don't recognize that founding father, but okay, good enough. And they would be talking about the Constitution, and you know, they were just really worried that Barack Obama was going to ruin the Constitution by socializing medicine. That was their great concern, or the government having any piece of medicine.
Mm-hmm. And concerned that Obama was writing too many executive orders and circumventing Congress and the process.
And it was very, they're very mad. This is not right. We're not going to have this. He's against the Constitution. Today, it was released that the president actually wants to take a red pen to the Constitution and strike the 14th Amendment. And he says that people tell him he can do that. Do we have that? Do we have the sound of him saying that? Yeah, let's just listen to this.
Hear it.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't.
You don't.
Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
Did he ever say who they are?
No, he didn't. He didn't provide that. And most of the legal experts I've heard weigh in say you do have to go to Congress in order to do this the right way. You can't just sort of redline it.
Now, I want to know, where are the guys with the three-cornered hats from 8 years ago? Where are they? Why aren't they jumping up and down?
Where do they
Wait
stand?
A second. You can't do that. Yeah, apparently you can. According to him, and apparently they don't care. That's fine. It's our guy. We like him. If he wants to rewrite the Constitution, he can. He looks a little like a founding father anyway. They all had jacked up hair.
He kind of did. He would have fit in at that time.
Here's the vice president commenting on the 14th Amendment. He can't possibly go the other way on this, can he?
We are looking at action that would reconsider birthright citizenship. We all know what the 14th Amendment says. We all cherish the language of the 14th Amendment.
No, you don't.
But the Supreme Court of the United States has never ruled on whether or not the language of the 14th Amendment, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, applies specifically to people who are in the country illegally. And I think the president's looking at executive action. I know the Congress has looked at legislative action to reconsider that.
Okay.
Do you think any of this would be coming up if we were not 1 week away from an election?
Rick Pearson from the Tribune is about to answer that exact question.
This is
a little bit of a bolt from the blue. Maybe I just wasn't reading the right chat rooms. I wasn't on Gab.
Gab.com.
I suppose I didn't know exactly what was going on. I had not heard that this was in the. There's a lot of ideas that they've got that they're trying to float here. I'd not heard this one.
Well, this is today's bright shiny object. You know, I mean, a few days ago it was we're going to have another 10% middle class tax cut.
Right. Which turned out not to be possible.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, this is ways that Trump is looking to try to recapture the momentum that he says was lost because of national tragedies in Pittsburgh. The serial bomb event, the man who tried to get into a black church in Kentucky, things that the Trump administration says took away all the Republican momentum. And so you throw things like this out to revoke the 14th Amendment by executive order.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I have a hard time even saying that.
I know.
I know. It's kind of a hard time hearing it when you say it.
Now, and there's going to be people out there who say, whoa, what he wants to do is make it so the people who are in the country illegally can't have anchor babies. A pregnant woman can't come across the border, sneak across the border with a coyote, and, you know, go to a hospital and have a baby, and then just stay, because now they got a U.S. citizen in their family. And I think there's a lot of people. I mean, I think it's not dumb politics on the president's part. He's, you know, you took part last night in the Lincoln Forum event that we did up here at the radio station after the show. And, you know, I think on our panel, it was a discussion that, you know, he's actually very, very tactical about what he's doing here. As you're pointing out, he knows what he's doing. He knows he wants to drop this in there. He knows the fight about it will coalesce his people. And there's going to be a number of people out there go, well, wait, really, should there be anchor babies? I mean, that doesn't seem like a right. And the number of anchor babies is actually up since 1980. You know, there's been like a surge of them. I think, you know, something like 300,000 or something that. And again, this is over a long period of time, but it's, you know, considerably higher than it had been prior to 1980. So,
yeah, but I think, but here we are again. We're in this game where comprehensive immigration reform, which everybody talks like education's my number one priority, and nobody does anything about it. And that's certainly a discussion, I think, against a backdrop of comprehensive immigration reform, a potential path to citizenship, all of those kinds of things on the table. And Lindsey Graham, I was shocked, of course, you know, he's made some dramatic changes in his views of the president to jump on the bandwagon after Trump made this announcement. And Lindsey Graham had been among the Gang of Five that not that long ago had put together a plan for comprehensive immigration reform.
That's right.
Was this on that, or is this just a total bolt from the blue? Is this just a brand new concept?
I don't know that anybody has talked about this for a while, despite what the vice president may say. I'm not even sure it was even part of the discussion when the group of senators had put together a proposal going forward.
Senator Graham says that he is willing to introduce legislation, in fact, to end the birthright citizenship, and that he's always been about comprehensive immigration reform. But at the same time, he says he's always been about the elimination of birthright citizenship.
Now, they say that Trump, in that interview with Axios, and that guy couldn't have been more excited about this, because you could tell, I got a scoop, man. Oh, tell me more. And in that interview with Axios, he said, you know, we're the only country in the world that has birthright citizenship. That is untrue.
There's
30 other countries that actually have it. But why fact check when you could just say it and people go, yeah, we're the only country that does this. But there are 30 others, mostly in Europe. But it does happen. And then you've got and then there are some countries that if you are of extraction, you're automatically a citizen.
Correct.
Israel does that. I think does Ireland does somebody. There's another country that does that too. That's constantly looking for more people to come back. It's a tourism play, really, more than anything else. But
also to vote too.
Right.
But it speaks to what an issue immigration is, or certainly what Republicans and Democrats think it will mean for their parties, respective parties, in this upcoming election. Rick, you're hearing that health care and immigration are key issues that are going to potentially drive people out to the polls.
Sure. And, of course, you know, there, as we've seen through these days of the caravan that, you know, keeps trudging along, that's a go-to point for the president, for his base. You know, and this, you know, goes back to the very beginning when he launched his candidacy. The idea of people feeling that they're neglected, kind of almost a 1960s America that immigrants are taking our jobs and we have to stop it. I mean, heck, you're hearing it from Governor Rauner as he tries to, coalesce that conservative base that illegal immigrants are taking the jobs from citizens, and that results in an increase in crime in Chicago, despite every study I've ever looked at that says there is no connection to any of that. Mm-hmm. But it feeds, it's the red meat that feeds the base. And
when President Susana Mendoza takes the oath of office in 2020, because she's running for every office before it's done, she's going to be the controller, then the mayor, then the president. When she becomes president and she tries this in 2021, believe me, people are there. Are a lot of Republicans are going to jump up and down and go, "Wait a second,
you we can't do that.
You can't do that." I mean, it's like the funny thing is the president doesn't realize. I think, and this is what's so funny, and I don't understand what the, you know, what they're feeding Mike Pence or now Lindsey Graham. They get this. They understand. You can't do this because this is going to come back around. So the way the Democrats got totally screwed on the Senate, 51 votes versus 60 votes.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's, you know, 2/3 majority. That issue was the Democrats did it. And then all of a sudden, Republicans are like, all right, guess what?
We're going to use that.
Here we go. Squee, PJ, your guy's in.
Let's have a beer.
I mean, what goes around comes around here. And I get it. He's throwing everything. You made a point last night at the forum. I want you to repeat for us here, which I think is fascinating, that the White House and basically the Republican Party is already shifting over to the Senate. The big commercial blitz that's going to be moving here. They're pretty much giving up the House, right?
Yeah, there was a briefing by the background briefing from the political team at the White House saying that for these final days, the president's trips for campaigning will be aimed at Republicans keeping the Senate, and which pretty much indicates they've given up the House, that he's going to places that would maximize visibility for a statewide campaign, and so not go to individual House districts. And that signals to me they've given up the House.
All right. Mm-hmm. Rick Pearson from the Chicago Tribune, and also WGN Radio, host of the Sunday Spin, 7 to 9 in the morning on Sunday. All right. Thank you very much, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
Right,
see ya.
Bye.
I got some other things in the Constitution I'd like to take out. If we're going to start taking things out.
What would you strike?
I got things. I got some things.
You just had a little red pen. You could draw a line through things you didn't like.
Yeah. I got to go. Let me go back through and choose some things I don't really like. Is he going to take out the 16th while he's at it, too? Is he going to take that out? Actually, the 14th, the thing about the 14th Amendment is it was the gateway, this whole idea of birthright, of being born in the United States, to non-citizens being born in the United States, was designed to give, I know this is going to drive Kanye nuts when I say this, it was designed to give African-American status.
Mm-hmm.
It was designed because prior to that, slaves that had kids, those babies were not American citizens. You could not be black and be an American citizen prior to that, if you had lived in the slave South.
Mm-hmm. Which is why there's some on the far right who are saying that that's exactly, it was the intention of the law was to handle that issue of the children of slaves and not the children of illegal immigrants.
Right.
Birthright gave me and my sister our citizenship.
Oh, what the? All right, you're out. One of the things he talked about was retroactively, this is true, he talked about retroactively throwing people out of the country for this.
But my parents weren't here illegally. They were under a green card and a fiancé visa. So
I notice how that story has changed significantly.
It's true.
Okay. All right. We'll work out your immigration status here in just a few minutes, young lady. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
O, M, and lots of G's.
Let's talk hockey. Jamal Mayers joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 9:40, for the Breakfast with the Blackhawk.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tom Skilling is going to join us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, right after the top of the 4 o'clock hour, because you might want to listen to this forecast for trick-or-treating tomorrow.
I know.
For the kids who are going to be trick-or-treating. I know there's a lot of places where the trick-or-treating already took place, and they're saying no trick-or-treating. I'm going to say no trick-or-treating in my neighborhood now.
In your neighborhood?
Yes.
Just your house, I thought.
No, I'm just telling you, in the whole neighborhood, there will be no trick-or-treating.
Wow. Bah humbug.
I'm gonna put crime scene tape up, you know, up and down the block.
Just to scare the kids.
That works for Halloween, though. People do that on purpose. Rose the Grinch of Halloween.
I actually Seriously. Have deployed 5,000 troops to my block to keep these invaders, these children dressed as Marvel characters. I don't need any of that on my block.
You do have a giant wall surrounding your little neighborhood there. Trump would admire that wall.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's very Trumpian.
Yeah, it's like 30 feet high.
It is true.
You barbed know? Wire on the top.
The tallest wall in the entire Gold Coast, I think.
It's no, like, no question.
I haven't seen one like on the that. Corners.
Right, it does. Right, that's what I'm getting. Right, I do. I've got it. Basically, it's like Bin Laden's encampment is what it's like. That's what
it's kind of hard, though.
It kind of is what it is. All right. We've got Judy Bylak. She's standing by. She's got WGN News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in 2 minutes. It's the Rokon Show. With Anna DeLantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us, being brought to us here, of course.
Ro and Anna, how are you?
Permaseal Basement Systems.
All right. Yes.
Good.
Listening happy. To your forecast there about the little sprinkles and the rain coming this tonight.
Yeah, you know, there's some pretty active lightning going on with these cells on the front end of this thing. So I think between 6 and 8 o'clock, these things will come rolling in. And there's as much lightning as I've seen from our lightning detection system on these in any cluster of storms that's come in for weeks around here. Mm-hmm. So, but later tonight, it'll just wind down to rain and then taper off early tomorrow. Some of our models have introduced some new light showers that could affect the trick-or-treaters
later tomorrow.
All
right, let's talk about this. We've got to talk about it.
Yeah.
We cannot have wet popcorn balls.
No, that's right. And it looks like the aerial coverage on this will be about 30%. But apparently the period from, say, about 5 o'clock tomorrow evening to perhaps 4 in the morning on Thursday morning would be the period to watch for this second batch of showers. And it's not universally predicted by all the models. We just have a couple, but one that's very trustworthy has it in there, so it's worth mentioning, I think. You know, we're going to have this whole series of little systems go by time from time to time right on through the next week. So we'll be kind of in and out of these mixed sun periods and other periods where it's cloudy and raining for several hours. So it makes for an interesting and very changeable autumn weather pattern that's coming together.
So if you had to make a guess here across the Chicago area, that should people be trying to get out earlier or a little later?
I think a little earlier, if you can do that. Of course, how many people can do that? Because, you know, a lot of folks work and kids get out afterwards.
You know, kids may be getting home 3-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
And parents, I mean, that's the one thing, depending, of course, on where you work. But, you know, sometimes for the trick-or-treating, the bosses can be a little bit more. And all I got to do is go, well, Skilling said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to get out of there. We're going to get rained
on. I'm sure that holds a lot of...
Yeah.
But you had some notes for everybody, Tom? Like, just, you know, how the Cubs give out permission slips.
Or a doctor writes permission, you know, for you to miss out on an activity or something like that at school.
Yeah. A Tom Skilling note.
Sure.
Permission slip.
Sure. Be happy to do that. Bill Snyder's already out trick-or-treating. He went out early this afternoon.
That was good.
How's
that working?
Well, that's a good way to surprise people. I think that's, you know,
know.
In terms of the trick or the treat.
Well, I mean, the nice thing with Billy doesn't have to dress up. You know, he just goes out there as himself, like me. You know, only I kind of frighten people when I come to the door. So
I'm going as you this year.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh. That's frightening.
I'm going as Tom Skilling.
Yep, that would...
I'm going to shave my head. It's going to be... It's going to be an end to an era of good hair days.
Do you know what we did one day? It was the opening of the Cubs season, and so Micah Mater and then Mark Sapelsa and I were to be down at the ballpark. And so once we got done with the early feed on the early shows, we walked back and caught an Uber several blocks away. And we were walking through a neighborhood here on the northwest side, and we noticed people had WGN on their sets through the window.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up to the door and knocked on the door and said, "Oh, hi, and thanks." Yeah, thanks for watching WGN. And
that's great.
And they, you know, they looked at us like
precious.
If somebody had come back from the dead or something like that. And, but
you should have had some cameras rolling. It would have been perfect promo to just surprise people.
And call the police.
That's right. No, it made me think of that. Do you know somebody sent me a picture of a dog that they had dressed up to look like me? And I thought that was kind of appropriate.
Did it look like you?
It did. They found glasses that looked like mine, and they had the same sort of sport coat. Only the dog was better looking. That's the only difference there.
Did he have like little weather maps or something that made it obvious? Or
he was in front of the monitor with a 7-day forecast in the background. So that was
dogs. This is why I love dogs.
Because
dogs just know, they're going to put the glasses on, no, not the glasses.
I know.
My ears don't hold the glasses. All right, I'm going to, I'm going to stand here. All right, take a picture, come
on. Right,
come on,
get it done and feed me.
Right. I have to lick something right now, so take a picture. I got time for this.
Look, if this is what I've got to do for dinner, I'll do it, but get it over with fast. You know, that's kind of the look they give you.
Did the dog look happy to be you, Tom?
Yeah, he looked surprisingly
happy. He was very happy.
Have you noticed how...
they must have medicated the poor thing.
It is so interesting how dogs adjust to humans in such a fascinating way. They've adjusted to the technology now.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They know when their picture's being taken.
Well, they know when you're on your phone even, not to bother
you. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I found that with our little pooch. She's figured that out.
You know what's interesting, too? If you're watching television and a dog starts barking on the TV, the ears go up and they start barking, too. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, but sometimes you try to show a dog a dog on television and they're like, what am I looking at?
Wait. Some don't see it.
I don't know. What do you mean? They'll look at a dog. There's a dog there.
Can they actually see that? I heard one time that dogs can't see the TV picture, but then somebody else told me, true, they can see it.
They just don't smell another dog. That's the reason. Because
that's
just as much information they get from their nose as they get from anything else.
You know what else happens is when a doorbell rings on TV, like that.
Sort of like that.
That would set them off, you know? And you keep saying, no. No, Callie and Maddie, that's not our doorbell.
Well, we've been watching creepy movies the last week or so because, lead up to Halloween.
Sure.
And our dog gets freaked out by some of them. Like, she thinks she's hearing sounds and, weird, the weird, kind of creepy sounds and stuff freaks her out.
I know. Have you ever, as you drive across the city, I always get a kick. People are out walking their dogs. They come in all sizes, all shapes, and they're kind of happily trotting along and all the rest. It just strikes me as funny sometimes. And, and it's like they very much accept the fact they have a leash on them and all the rest. I always feel bad about that. But you've got to keep them under control. You don't want them running out
in
the traffic
city, you
at
can't
all.
Do that.
No.
I don't know why people... there was a guy, when we were on the Streetside studio, there was a guy that was constantly walking his dog, and the dog had the whole leash in its mouth, unattached to with a collar.
Wow.
It
would just carry its leash.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's... I mean, you got to have... And walking down Michigan Avenue, you got to have such... And that dog has to be so well trained,
or he just
doesn't care what the outcome is. One way or the other, the owner doesn't care.
And if anything ever happened to them, you would never, ever forgive yourself.
Right.
I mean, and then on top of that, in the process, you could create an accident.
I have never had a dog that I would ever trust off a leash.
No.
Ever.
In the city, but because if you get out of the city.
Anywhere.
I know.
I used to there was a farm I used to go to, down on the farm. That's what we would do.
Yeah.
It was actually
a prison work farm I would go to. And I would take, and then you take the dog down there. This is the problem. You take a dog down into a place like that.
Yes.
And all of a sudden they run, they get so excited. Because it's for as far as the eye can see, it's the potential for other little things running around.
Lots of smells.
Right? And they run out. There were cows on this farm, and they would just run out. And I will never forget, we had one that ran out and went into the cornfields.
Oh, wow.
And didn't come back. Because... they were like out there for hours trying to find it because it got lost because the scent gets... Because they just fertilized.
Yeah.
So it can't. So
that's
all of a sudden, everything smells.
Well, you know what else is interesting, too? And you know, Orion could talk more about this, but the new breed of cornstalk plant, you put them so close together. You know, I've heard people say you couldn't do a Field of Dreams movie anymore because there are no, you know, there's nowhere for the baseball players to walk out from rows of corn.
Right, can't do
They're
it,
all
right.
close together.
Yeah, that is really true.
Yeah.
And the corn's better than it's ever been. I know. I'm all for the GMOs. Bring them on.
You look for that. Right. You extra GMOs extra, on the packaging. Oh, there's my corn.
I know.
That's perfect.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want this thing totally souped up. I want every genetic modification you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, on my corn or my,
sure.
You know, even my, I don't care, my cow, whatever it is. I got a question for you. I know we're sort of moving into a whole other moment here.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But I've been buying these. There's a restaurant up on the north side, mm-hmm. up in the Lakeview area, mm-hmm. that sells these chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Korean chicken barbecue kind of place.
I see.
And the wings are the size of my hand.
Wow.
And I would like to know
what they do to those chickens, right?
What's going on
there? The question is, how big is the chicken? Is the chicken itself like 2 feet tall, 3 feet tall?
And it's not breading. It's really the wing.
The wing is the size of a gigantic drumstick. It's like a turkey. But it's a chicken.
But doesn't that creep you out a little bit?
When you eat
that? I think that would kind of frighten me a little bit, you know? I don't know. But I feel the way you do. I think our food is magnificent. And if this has been GMO altered, then so
I'm all for it. I'm sick and tired of everybody telling me.
You know, the only
because
problem.
Because I'm all about science. I am all about science. I'm not one of those deniers. I don't deny that, you know, there are relationships between things and whether it's the environment or pollution or things like that. I get all of that. But I've yet to have seen anything that shows me that my hand's going to fall off if I eat a genetically modified anything.
The one thing that worries you about that is, are these, and sometimes the genetically modified crops are designed to hold up under stressful weather conditions better than their non-genetically mm-hmm. modified counterparts.
And you don't have to use as many chemicals on most of them for other reasons because of the modification.
Good point, too. Yeah. But on the other hand, you wonder if there might be some sort of fluky weather condition that maybe hasn't been taken into account that would start threatening the strain, you know, somewhere down the road.
Yeah, there's always something, Tom. We've learned that.
I know.
In our life, and especially in the news business, we know there's always something.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. There's going to be something's going to surprise you. It's going to get weird. But it is true. Like you go to the store, and you get whether it's fruits or vegetables or this Franken chicken that they have now. I mean, things are bigger. They're in season all the time, and you're like,
That's
I don't
true.
Know where this thing
I
came
know.
From. They
I
get
know.
Great
well,
fruit
perfect.
The size of
like
your
strawberries
head.
Are just perfect.
I know, aren't they? You wonder how many acres of strawberries there have had to been to just to produce. And you look at it. Every
there's one
store
country
you go
that
into.
Does nothing but strawberries. So one country in South America, that's all they do. It's like we do nothing else now. We're out of banking. We're out of making anything else. We just do strawberries.
And you know what's amazing? You go to different stores, and they all have these incredible supplies of them, which makes you realize, and you know, these are only a couple of stores in one city. There are stores across the country. You wonder how, in heaven's name, they can produce this number of these perfect strawberries, as you say, Anna, or something like
mm-hmm.
that,
mm-hmm.
In the quantity that they must have to satisfy the demands of all these stores around
year
the
round,
country.
Year-round, yeah.
Yeah, year-round.
Because nobody else is doing them except for the warmer states. I guess true. California, huge supplier of strawberries. So
yes.
Maybe California is just doing nothing else but strawberries.
I think they do avocados and nuts
and earthquakes.
And
they do earthquakes.
And
and fires.
Of course, they're pulling all the water out of their aquifers. That's the only problem. You know, the whole Sacramento
bring
Valley
us down
is
now.
I know.
We love our strawberries, though, Tom.
I need somebody to answer. I might have to get Orion to figure this out for me. Because I hate to, you know, Orion works early in the morning. I hate to call him too late because I know, you know, this is about dinner time.
He knows this stuff,
though.
Let's call him.
Yeah.
He does.
But I would like to know where the hell this chicken is from. Is this really a chicken? Are they breeding chickens that are just like.
He could tell you. You know, he really could.
Well,
every time I drive through southwest Wisconsin, the Kickapoo Valley, I think this is Orion Samuelson's territory up here. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty country.
What valley is that?
Kickapoo.
The Kickapoo River Valley up in western Wisconsin, that beautiful rolling countryside up in the Baraboo Bluffs and all, and around La Crosse and west of Madison. It's pretty country up there. That's Orion's original stuff.
That's where it all started. There were all those stories from the farm.
That's right. Right.
Right. With the
And Max Armstrong was from, he grew up on a farm down by Evansville, Indiana. He was telling me his grandfather owned a farm that the Tri-State Tornado in 1925 went across. Went right across the farm.
He's making that up.
You think so?
I'm totally making
I don't
up.
Think
just
so.
Just trying to connect
He's
with you on
He's trying
to
impress you, Tom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I was.
If he has to go back to a 1925, go back to a 1925 tornado. But you may know this, Tom.
You're talking to Tom Skilling. You got to say something.
You got to come up with something, right?
I remember I was listening to the news show one day, and they were talking about a cow that had been picked up on one side of an Iowa farm. They couldn't find it; it wasn't there. And when the storm passed, and they found him on the other side of the farm. Apparently, the cow had been carried all the way across the farm, and he was chewing his cud and very happy on the other side of the farm. Which I thought was kind of amazing. But,
yeah. I want to point out, because people are texting now, I want to point out that we did find that dog. The dog did eventually come back.
Oh, good.
After getting lost out in the field.
Yeah.
Like, it came back that night by itself, and it was like, and it gave you that look. That if the dog could talk, I said, oh, my God, you have no idea what I've been through.
It is a wild world out there.
Wow.
I'm never going to leave this house again.
Wow, I am, right. What do you need me to do? I'm going to listen to every command for at least the next hour.
You know what's fun to watch, though, is this pure, unencumbered joy when the dog that's used to the urban environment and being on a leash is able to run free.
How are they? It's like they know. Yeah. It's like they have like this, maybe it's like the first time they ever got driven in from the breeder.
Right.
Right? It was like that. They were like, oh, man, I really miss it out here.
It's so cute to watch that.
Yeah, and they get out there, and they're like, oh, this is great.
I know.
I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I find my dog, and she's still a puppy, loves this type of weather, that they get more active in this sort of nice little chill in the air, but it's still... You know, it's not super hot.
It's kind of true.
You know, she wants to take off and run. It's like she's a racehorse when I take her outside right now.
Yeah.
Except for the dogs that have to wear sweaters and stuff. Like, they're really thin, coated
dogs. I feel
for
them in the winter.
Yeah. I used to have to put a Gap sweatshirt on my box.
That look on my dogs, a little Maddie is our little dog. But we got her at Annie Cruelty, and she is the sweetest little thing. And she'll look up when you take her out on a cold winter's day to do her business, she looks up at you like,
oh, come on.
How could you do this to me?
What are you doing?
Just get one of those little potty pads.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Listen, make her go outside.
The kitchen floor is fine.
Yeah.
You can clean it right up.
No, I feel like Attila the Hun.
Yeah. No. Yeah, what do you clean up?
I know. They like, you know, would you want to be out here? You know, that's kind of the look you're getting.
Do.
And it's a good point. I wouldn't want to be out there, you know.
Yeah.
So
I was just at Anti-Cruelty today, by the way, because I was dropping off. You can drop off newspapers and towels. They need a ton of
those. Oh, wow.
So just to remind everybody, and I asked them, they said, oh, we always need them. So
you're so nice. Don't they do wonderful work there?
They do.
Maddie was picked up and was terribly abused. We found out after the fact she'd been burned with cigarettes. I mean, you wonder, how can anybody treat a little animal like that? And she's so sweet and so loving and hasn't at all been affected by... you would think you would hate every human being ever saw after going through a horror like that. But she is the sweetest little thing.
Yeah.
And the Anti-Cruelty people nursed her for about 2 months before they even put her up for adoption. Mm. And you can still feel every little rib in her body. But she is the sweetest thing.
Oh.
And they do wonderful work.
They do.
All right.
They do.
Tom, thank you very much.
Okay, Ro.
Thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye,
see
Tom.
You later.
You better do a better job tomorrow on this weather. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you, Tom.
All right, guys.
Let's find out from Judy what's coming up in a few minutes in the WGN newsroom.
Charges filed in that crash in Indiana that killed three siblings getting on a school bus.
Ciro Concho with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
Here on the 7 to 20 in the WGN. All right. I have many thoughts for you. First of all, I am very concerned about, as Tom Skilling gave us the weather, very concerned about the trick-or-treating for tomorrow. And
whether... Right, it just didn't say it was going to be that bad. You just said get it in earlier rather than later.
Right, people who can.
if you can.
Yeah, and then what do you do with the now? This is going to make the trash bag sales very high.
That's true. And are all those like at the, you pick up at the Walgreens the little poncho, the quick poncho? Because if it's see through, it actually doesn't ruin your costume.
Oh,
you can still
it ruins
see it.
Your costume. It's horrible.
It's not as bad as like you know a jacket or a raincoat. I mean, I don't know. It just
kids don't care about a little rain.
They don't care.
I cared.
I want to see their costume.
Really?
You yeah.
Care. Oh, gosh. I could see Ro.
Oh, it's raining.
I don't want to go out.
I mean, there's one time I had to trick-or-treat outside in my life. I was, you know, not in an elevator in an apartment building running from apartment to apartment.
What?
That was your whole trick-or-treating experience.
Well, I guess
up?
Where else were you going to go downtown, right? Was there not any
And on top of that, you were taking the elevator instead of the stairs.
No, we went. It depends. Sometimes the stairs. It was faster. Down. I mean, we're going to go up the stairs. Although, you have boundless energy when you're 8 years old. It doesn't matter.
And you're hopped up on candy.
Yeah, and you're hopped up on the, you know, you got the candy corn up your nose. And you're just, you know, been snorting candy corn. And you're just like, all right, let's go.
I bet you got some really good treats in a high-rise apartment in the Gold Coast when everyone knew each other. Weren't they trying to impress and everything?
Nah.
Did a lot of people?
Oh God, no!
Their door?
No, it was a rental building. It was
handing out 20s.
No, it was in. It was
get out of here, kids.
It wasn't the Gold Coast. It was Streeterville. Streeterville is very different.
Oh, it was
the mean streets of Streeterville. Yes, that's how I grew up. The mean streets of Streeterville.
That's why you're so tough.
Yeah, and when we would, you know, and it was, you know, it was like an apartment building, and it was not, there were not, you know, billionaires and millionaires and stuff in there. There were a lot of little old ladies whose family didn't want them around anymore, so they shipped them downtown to be closer to Northwestern.
But you never left the building to go trick-or-treating? You just stayed in the building?
Yeah, well, okay. So, 23 floors.
Oh, all right.
Times... Right. 8 apartments. There are 9 of whatever it was. It's up to JK. K, the letter K. So whatever. I don't know. How many is that? Somebody run that for me. A, B, C, D, E, F, G,
11.
H, I, J, 11. K.
Yeah, like 11.
No, it's 8.
No, isn't it's 11.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Yeah. 11. So there are 11 apartments.
Oh, gee.
11 apartments per floor. You do the math.
Well, but didn't you ever think maybe I could leave the apartment building to go door to door?
Who else
trick or treating?
Yeah, but door to where?
Right,
somewhere. You have to get into somebody else's building.
I always left our neighborhood because we didn't have a very Rogers Park. It didn't seem like they weren't. They didn't participate very much. So we'd go. I go to a friend's neighborhood. I'd go to Lincoln Park. Or
there
something
were
like that.
There now once
they better candy.
My parents took me to their friend's house. And they were in a different neighborhood, like a house with you know like a neighborhood with houses in it. And I was like, I don't know what to do here.
Like, what do you want me to do?
Where's the elevator? That was my first question. You want me to follow him in this outside? What happens? And then, you know, back in that day, they just let us out there. There were no parents following us around.
Hey, where are you
It was
going?
The 10-year-old who was leading us. Right?
Really?
Yeah. So
you were
like,
8 and you're just
walking? Yeah. I think 6 at this point. Oh. So I was like 6 and there was a 10-year-old who was in charge. A couple 7-year-olds, an 8-year-old, and a 10-year-old. Like, I live up to the 10-year-old. It's fine.
See, I don't remember my parents ever walking around with me.
Me either.
Trick-or-treating.
We were always by ourselves.
Yeah,
really?
It was just like a neighborhood group of kids running around the neighborhood, yeah.
And then I stayed out even extra.
Oh, no, that's a shocker.
Because then you got home and counted the candy. You're like, I'm going back out. It's going to be crazy.
I didn't get enough Almond Joys.
God, I love Almond Joys.
Me too.
Only time I ever eat Butterfinger is at Halloween. And Baby Ruth.
The mini ones, though, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, so
I
good.
I can't eat a full Butterfinger. That is like...
It's like a stick of butter mixed in with a giant stick of chocolate.
But the chocolate's different on the large ones, too.
Did you go as Pocahontas when you were a kid? I can't see that.
No, I was a witch often, and my mom made me a clown outfit once. That was horrendous.
Who knew Pocahontas was going to eventually become a racial slur?
I knew it was popular.
I mean, it was a Disney movie, right? And everyone's like, oh, it's like Pocahontas, that was a big deal.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Love those songs.
Yeah. I was an Indian, and we called it an Indian, unfortunately.
Yeah, see?
So
that's,
yeah.
And that was that's a racial
time.
Slur.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a different time.
I don't think my mom ever made me a costume.
Well,
so foreign to me.
Yeah.
Now everyone makes their kids costumes.
Right. Really?
Really?
I went one year as an Indian.
Anna. I don't make the costumes.
But I was an investment banker as an Indian. I was actually, that was it was a different thing.
Yeah, I would love to hear your costumes, bro, because I don't know what would be in your world.
Oh, like, I would have loved you at my door.
You weren't just like Batman or anything, I'm sure.
No, I think I was. Oh, for sure, Batman. I loved Batman. But I was, the Batman with that mask that Batman. Literally was like, it was before LASIK surgery. It was cutting your eyeball open.
Yeah. They were awful.
Those masks with a really sharp.
They were so bad.
Kind of. You'd blink and you'd start bleeding from your eye.
Sometimes they had slits. You couldn't even see out of them.
Right. That's right. And sometimes they had extra little pieces from the factory that were still sticking out, sharp plastic.
Yeah. Right.
Remember that in the eyeball area?
It was made in America, too. Very proudly made in America. You're like, this is what? What?
Crap.
Where's China when you need it? So it was it was a different time. They're playing Dress Up Here tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. So
not me, that's for sure.
Well, okay. So here's the deal.
I'm out.
We have to participate.
I'll be a
so I had
reporter.
Some time here with Mr. Cochran today.
Okay.
And his show is apparently all dressing up.
Yes. As like a team concept costume?
And they're all underwater. I think it's a Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I saw the costumes
perfect.
In his office today.
And they have like real costumes.
Really nice.
They went to a costume shop or somebody went, and I saw in our little office area there, his office is next to our office, and there's a big communal table because it's very hipster around here. This is like, it's like a shared workspace.
Everyone's playing ping pong.
Yes, and that's what we're doing. And so they on this big table, they laid out all the costumes, and it literally looked like something that washes up after a hurricane, because it's like there's just all these things lying there with tentacles and arms and stuff. They're lying there flat, and I'm like, oh, this is it was rather dark, if I must tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And then I thought to myself, no, isn't this a radio show?
We simulcast
on
CLTV.
Gram. Everything today is just for the gram.
And we have a Halloween party tomorrow. My parents are bringing in the food for that, by the way.
Oh, cabbage rolls?
No cabbage rolls.
What do you mean no cabbage rolls?
No costume, no cabbage rolls.
No fighting, kids.
Cabbage rolls?
I'm over the cabbage
rolls. Do not make me pull this radio show over.
I'm not over the cabbage rolls.
So we don't have a group costume? We're not going to get dressed up?
No.
None of us are?
No.
I'm getting dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm going to go to Chicago costume tonight after work. So if you guys want me to pick up anything.
Don't worry. It won't be at all busy in there.
I'll just go
tonight.
In and out real quick.
It's the one night of the year that Chicago costume, you got to take a number, and there's like a 16-block wait to get in.
I'll sneak my way in there.
Right. It's like voting in a third world country, where you watch people and people from
walk
villages,
10 miles.
People from Elk Grove Village have walked to Chicago costume.
I think you should try Goodwill. You'll have better luck there.
Yeah. See what she just did there?
Yeah,
that was
nice.
Very nice.
Got
too.
The plug in there.
I'm not in favor of this. Now, I have to wear a costume because I'm on a television show that actually has cameras and people will see it. So they're making us all wear costumes tomorrow.
And those are so elaborate. I mean, you get like Hollywood, people to come in and work on that.
2 hours tomorrow in a makeup chair.
What are you going to be?
They're not allowed to talk about
it. Can you give us a clue?
No.
You signed a non-disclosure?
Yes. Right. Because they work at the White House and ABC.
Are you guys dressing up together? Like the whole show has a concept?
Yeah, it's a theme, yeah.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Well, how come we are doing a theme? We should do
so now, the show's over at 2 o'clock and then I have to be here. At 3, and they told me it's going to be 45 minutes to get me out of this costume.
So just wear
out?
It.
Yeah.
So just wear it here, and then maybe we build our theme around that, Ro.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and tell us what it is, and then we'll all come up with
whatever
complimentary.
We could all make it work. That'll be hilarious. We will. We'll just all do it towards your costume, no matter what we're wearing.
I don't have time for that tonight. I can't be out shopping
put a
for a costume.
This isn't a very enthusiastic group here.
That's what I'm saying. You need to dress up to get in the spirit of Halloween. Otherwise, you can hear in our voices that we're not going to be in it if we're not in a costume.
And don't our fans on CLTV want to see us dressed up?
Yeah. I'm sorry. What did you just say? that word was plural that you just used.
In parentheses,
four
the S was.
Four things to consider before wearing a Halloween costume to work. This is a CNBC story.
Oh, there are
see
some
this?
Guidelines, some rules.
Mm-hmm. Make sure your office encourages dressing up.
They do.
Well, here.
Check.
I mean, honest
never,
to God.
Never go with the slutty version of the
this
costume.
This is like
They don't encourage it. They mandate it.
This is like a daycare center here, right?
And when
you walk in here, it's like when you just walk in for your regular job, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, now we have activity time. And I literally walk by one room and there's nothing but cots out and there's people sleeping on them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, shh.
When's snack time?
And yeah, they just see someone sleeping in somebody's office.
Right? Yeah, is it juice box? And they give you a juice box.
And a squeeze package of that applesauce, too.
It is very, that's the funny thing about this environment. The first thing I noticed when I got here was that it's like kindergarten. Everything's an activity around
it's
here.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
And if you don't like dressing up, you have to pretend that you do. Because the costumes are very important.
I'm too busy to put a costume together. I'm a sports reporter.
Make sure that your costume is safe for work. Costumes should be top of mind. Costumes that are controversial or political or make fun of someone in your office are absolutely off limits.
So don't dress up as Pocahontas.
Wait, let's all be Ro.
Oh!
Yeah. How about Ro at different stages of his life? Kevin could do the cravat Ro from childhood. We could kind of go around and I'll pick some little phase.
I want to be the Ro in the leather jacket.
Yes.
I want to be the old Ro.
The current Ro?
Yeah. No, even older.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Should be in here looking out. Yeah, that's about right.
I'll be the Mad Men Row.
Yeah. Even if you have a cat, listen to this. The same goes for costumes that are sexy or provocative. Even if you have a casual office or a tight-knit team, err on the side of caution, Violetta. Yeah,
not here.
So fishnets not allowed.
Err on the side of caution.
Mini skirts, no.
How about the guy? Geez, I love this story about the guy who dressed as his kid up as Adolf Hitler, and then he dressed as a really authentic Nazi SS uniform. I'm thinking to myself, where did he get that?
Right? How is this available?
He had it. And now he's all mad that people were offended by it, and he's offended by the offended PC America. This is all awful. And you're like, dude, we know exactly what you did. You did this, and you used your little 10-year-old when you gave him the comb over and the little mustache. Use your 10-year-old to be like, that to me is like the ultimate in being a jag, is that he's trying to make a political statement. The kid doesn't understand.
Well, that's right. And the kid got berated.
Yeah.
Well, and what I'm sure the kid didn't ask to be.
Well,
they went trick or treating.
The dad, who is the king jag for doing this, mm-hmm. says his son got death threats and was berated. And this guy's just trying to draw attention to himself. And it turns out people started looking at this guy's social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
pretty clear.
It's what we thought it was going to be.
Did you hear what his wife said after it all happened?
Ava?
She said. Ava, his wife, Ava Braun, responded, yeah, well, the what do the Holocaust non-believers say?
Oh, Holocaust deniers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She made a Halloween Holocaust thing about it never happening. After all this, and he apologized. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, he apologized, but he didn't really apologize. The whole thing is like, and then, because, you know, he probably got whipped up on social media the way that the commander-in-chief does when all of a sudden he apologized. People go, what are you apologizing for? This is your right as a white man in America. You're white, you're sexy, and we're going to arrest people for trying to walk in your neighborhood? It's like, this is kind of where we are. So, in other words, what I'm suggesting is nobody wear a Nazi uniform tomorrow.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Good idea. Poor taste.
Yeah.
Not.
And definitely not a sexy Nazi uniform.
Probably a Confederate uniform as well.
Yes. Right.
Throw that in there.
Yeah.
Oh, who are you? I am a Confederate general.
Maybe you've heard of me.
I am representing myself as a statue that was ripped down, dishonoring me.
I think I'm going to be a poodle girl.
Shut up.
One study showed that people who were able to wear Halloween costumes at work were happier than those who didn't.
See there?
I don't think that's
Kevin?
True.
That's not accurate.
Bro, so you know.
All right.
Give people the option. If they want to do it, they want to do it.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, they just go. It's always a party around here. It's like every birthday, it's like, all right, now who brought the presents?
There's a cake.
There's a cake, right?
Speaking of birthdays, everyone gets something on their birthday.
There's like, where goodie bags.
What office does that?
Isn't that nice? I think that's so cool.
No, it's great.
I know. That does not happen anywhere.
And a really good cake, too.
Or cookies, yeah.
Or cookies
instead of doing
or cupcakes.
Like a
it's just so
thing.
Damn festive around here. No, I don't know what's
going on. So there's always someone's birthday. There's always cake or cookies.
Every day.
Yeah.
Because there's 365 people here, and apparently all born on a different day.
And just one more thing. How about the candy? What, who buys all that candy?
I know.
Stephanie.
Oh, so
and
nice.
Todd. All right. Can I? Excuse me. No names, please.
And Roger Badish.
No names. What part of no names didn't you understand? All right, let's find out, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Well, a notorious gangster killed in prison. Bro, you're asking about those mega chickens that you eat, the chicken wings that look like so big they belong to dinosaurs?
Yes.
One of our testers said that probably Amish chicken. Amish chicken.
The Amish are doing that?
The Amish do it.
How do the Amish?
They have special chickens. They
technologically
do the
grass-fed averse.
And they do the, yeah, the whole natural production is the answer that they are
good workout
giving
plan
you.
For the chickens.
I think Amish chickens are normally smaller.
You I think? Do you know?
I had an Amish chicken. Not I had it. I ate an Amish chicken once, and it was small. And it tastes gamey almost, you know? Like, it's tastes different.
She's going off of one thing that she thinks might be an Amish chicken.
It was. The Amish chickens are smaller. Look it up.
According to our texter, who you are in, maybe there's more than one type of Amish chicken.
I think there probably is.
And the Amish chicken, because they can't ride, because they can't drive cars, they're stronger because they have to be able to, you know, get around on their legs and their, you know, arms and stuff because they don't have cars. So that makes them bigger and stronger.
It's the smartest conversation about chickens ever.
I know, really. Orion is probably
about chickens right now
for the first time because none of us have ever been exposed to chickens actually on a farm.
Are free range, so they're
there's a lot of free range. When they say free range, they mean how free are they actually ranging? Because if I were a free range chicken, I would never show back up for work. If you know what I mean,
right?
Right? It's sort of like no.
You're not that free.
Yeah, I'm not going. You know those guys going over there. I'm not going with them. I'm going to sit around and pretend that I'm laying an egg, even though I'm a rooster. All right.
Good chance.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Interesting. Checking in at
number five.
Press Comm Center, Station 3, Brewston, Station 15, Camp. Need to respond. Any available medic need to respond. Cardiac arrest, 1640 Skyview Drive, Brewston. Comm First Alert, 825.
Center, Station 3.
That is the police dispatch or security dispatch radio traffic from the prison where Whitey Bulger was being held in West Virginia. He had been transferred to a prison camp.
Mm-hmm.
He had a life sentence, but he had been, because he was older and frail.
89.
He had been transferred to this, to a lower security camp. And it's now being investigated as a homicide, his death. They said, you know, cardiac arrest, but, you know, that's your heart does stop.
It was pretty gruesome the way he was found. It says that three inmates had used locks in a sock and really brutally. He met a brutal death.
Now, this is interesting because Whitey Bulger came to the prominence, I think, for the rest of the United States. He was always well known in Boston, right, as the big, you know, mob head in Boston. But that movie Black Mass, Johnny Depp played him.
You spill the secret family recipe today, maybe you spill about me tomorrow. Is that something maybe that's a possibility?
That's what I was just saying.
You were just saying. Just saying gets people sent to Allenwood. Just saying got me a 9-year stretch in Leavenworth and Alcatraz. You understand? So, just saying, could get you buried real quick.
Yeah. Jack Nicholson's character in the
Departed, also based on Whitey Bulger. Just, I mean, ordered gangland-style executions, gruesome murders and violence around him, and now he met his own gruesome end in prison.
All right. Checking in at...
Number four.
President says he plans to terminate birthright citizenship. he's going to do it, even though it's in the Constitution. He's going to do it by executive order.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely,
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order.
Just like that. Wipe it out.
Who needs it? No. I kind of prefer, before you monkey with the Constitution, you kind of go through Congress for that.
Yeah, probably the right way to go.
Yeah, you probably don't need that. I'm just going to do it. Vote for me. I'm just going to do it. Again, I go back to all those guys with the three-cornered hats in 2010.
Tea Party.
The Tea Party folks. They're out there screaming about, you know, don't touch my Constitution. Now, the argument is that it was initially designed, the 14th Amendment was initially designed to protect the citizenship rights of black American babies born in the South, who were not considered to be citizens of the United States.
Right.
And now has morphed into, because their parents weren't considered citizens of the United States, so it was an anti-slavery amendment. But it's now morphed into this ability of people to have, you know, come across anchor babies and all of that. And the president wants to, and that's a big wedge issue for him, so he's just going to do
throwing
it by executive
that out
order.
There, 7 days before the election.
Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah, I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen. Yeah. With an executive order. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly
very interesting.
What I'm talking
about. I didn't think anybody but knew that but me. I thought I was the only one. Jonathan,
I thought
I'm
a good guess.
He's so happy he got a scoop there. You can tell.
He got a scoop.
Okay, great.
Sarah
great.
Sanders
really?
Told him, hey, ask about this. He's gonna be, they gave him the whole thing. This is Axios, right?
Friendly.
Who is Axios? Anyway, the point is that Judge Mathis, and we should have a point of clarification. We are not the only country in the world that does that. There are 30 other countries, all Western democracies that do it, that allow birthright. But Judge Mathis has decided to weigh in on this.
Yeah, I think that's once again, I think he's really trying to inflame the political issue here of immigration so that they can win the midterm election, and they won't. I'm not necessarily partial toward any particular party, just I vote Democrat most of the time because they share the same values. But in this instance, I think the president is using this issue, and it's horrible and it's a shame that you would use these poor people, these young children, to advance a political agenda.
Did we get Judge Judy's comment as well? Just to make sure we covered all the bases.
I'm going to address this Judge Judy tomorrow.
I think Judy should dress as Judge Judy tomorrow. That'd be perfect.
Only Judy should judge.
Judgy Judy?
Judgy Judy.
One of my favorite costumes, by the way.
Yes.
I love that.
That's because that's her nickname, so it worked out. All right, can we, do you mind if we check in with Judgy Judy and find out what's coming out of the bottom of the hour news?
Have you voted early? Lots of people are.
See how judgy she is about that? Even that was kind of judgy.
You know what?
It sounded that way. Whose turn is it?
Mine? Tonight on WGN-TV News at 9, in 2016, Russian hackers targeted the Illinois Board of Elections. How secure is next week's election? Joe Donlin reports tonight on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right. There's our buddy right there.
Yeah, Joe Donlin. I almost called him John, but yeah, Joe Donlin.
Number 3.
In the top 5.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here. You can take a break.
Pharrell is mad at the president because the president's playing this song. Keep it under me here because it'll explain it. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like,
you need it.
It's too happy.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like happy.
His lawyer, Pharrell's lawyer, Howard King, said that on the day of the mass murder of 11 human beings at the hands of a deranged nationalist, the president played the song Happy to a crowd at a political event in Indiana. There was nothing happy about that tragedy inflicted upon the country on Saturday, and no permission was granted for the use of this song for this purpose. How about that? So he joins a bunch of other musicians who have also made similar statements, including the rights holders to Queen, R.E.M., Steven Tyler, and Prince. All asked that he stop doing that. I think Elton John also asked.
Don't some of these artists, though, sign away the rights in certain cases and then they don't realize that it gets ends up in a certain politician's playlist?
Well, as long as they're paying the licensing fee for a public performance, the artist has to specifically call it out and say you can't use it for that purpose, not to be used for that purpose. Because, you know, they sign away the right, because they don't give rights to every radio station that plays their music or to, you know, obviously a commercial, that's a separate situation. They have to pay for the rights to do that. So it's like, you know what? We're just, for the America going as well as everybody says it's going, we're really angry about it.
Everything.
Yeah, really, this whole thing. It's like, you know, it's like you're in a bet, like you've been waiting for this party for a long time. Like after 2008, you're like, oh my God, is the American economy ever going to come back? And it came back, and now we're all mad anyway. I don't understand. I mean, I do, but we're wasting our happiness, Pharrell.
Number two.
You're not wrong about that, by the way. Song should not have been. The fact that they are so tone deaf that they would play that, because they got one CD, literally, that they take to these things.
There should have been very careful consideration. I mean, there was even some people calling to not have that rally, but then once you choose to have it, I think you need to sort of change the tone.
Nicki Minaj apparently has a radio show. I had no idea that she did, but she does. And she brought up the fight that she has gotten into with Cardi B. Are these two ever going to get along?
I don't think so.
Nicki Minaj and Cardi B?
No.
They were at Harper's Bazaar Icons magazine party, where Cardi allegedly threw a shoe at Nicki.
Yes, that is true. Allegedly.
They've planted a lot of the seeds for them not to like me, and she succeeded because I don't speak up. I hear the shot you taking, but I'm a rapper. Remember that.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's right. I'm a rapper. Remember that.
Whoa.
What is that? I don't know. That means she's going to.
I think she's just jealous. Cardi B's up on the charts.
Cardi was not feeling what she said. And it's the whitest presentation of that sentence in the history of white people right
was
there.
Was not feeling.
Cardi was not feeling what she said. So she took to Instagram and said this.
We could settle it however you want to settle it. We could talk about it. Or we could fight it out. I'm with whatever. But I'm sick and tired of that back and forth shit. I'm not doing it. What you need to do is stop focusing on other people. Focus on yourself and focus on your craft. Because you're out here f***ing up your legacy looking like a f***ing hater.
True.
So well said.
Oh my God, I can't listen to that girl talk.
Excellent point.
Excellent point. I just want, in 100 years, they're going to be playing these people on WFMT. So I just want to give you I just want to get ahead of this right now.
Maury Povich wants to give them both a lie detector test and settle it once and for all. If
they're
anybody can figure
up.
It.
The blood's in the water here. Quite frankly, I think there's a little bit of guilt on both sides. You got to believe my lie detector test. Trust me. When we do a lie detector test, we do it 3 times. And so you can't fake it.
Okay.
Everybody's getting
it. All right. So he's, because it sweeps, Maury Povich is out there trying to get into the middle of the Nicki Minaj Cardi B controversy.
Perfect. Perfect TV moment.
I want everybody to shut up. I want everybody going. I want somebody doing time for this. I don't know who it is and I don't care.
I think they should just duke it out.
I think they should both be forced to live next to the white woman who's pretty and white,
and sexy
that we had yesterday on the show. That and the top five at five, the lady who doesn't like black people standing in front of her apartment complex. Actually, they should have to be forced.
So
to,
bad.
Maybe as a reality show, the three of them all live together.
Number one.
Mobile County, Alabama. A woman's Halloween fun turned into a medical emergency.
Uh-oh.
Yep. She had a zombie costume.
Oh, jeez.
And she put the zombie fangs in, and then she couldn't take them back out.
I was a zombie. I mean, I was trying to remove them then because it was like, they was just tight. So, I mean, it went on, and I mean, I continuously tried to get them out, and after it was over with, I mean, I've tried up to 2 o'clock this morning, and it's like, they wouldn't budge. I mean, I even took a pair of wire cutters and cut the tips of those two off. They talked about drilling, and I mean, they had a saw talking about taking them off in sections, and they couldn't numb it because they were scared to actually pull my teeth out. So he went in and just picked and pulled, and I squalled like a baby, and they got them out. I'll never do it again. Never will I put anything like that back in my mouth.
Yeah. Thank you.
She used super glue.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Just like Cooter.
She used super glue.
That's Cousin Cooter's.
False fangs in.
That's Cousin Cooter's cousin.
She used super glue?
According to, ABC News. That's what she
Well, you got to do that. And I got to defend my cousin because the thing is there, you get them teeth, they start moving around. Because, first of all, you got to put on your good tooth. And then when you put on your good tooth, then it start moving around a little bit. And then when it get all moved around, and then it falls out, and you're not scary zombie no more.
Never will I put anything like that back in my mouth.
That's right.
Good point. Lesson learned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank Don't you very much. That's all right.
Think about that when you're figuring out your Halloween costume.
Right. And I somehow doubt that's that woman's greatest dental emergency of her life.
The top five at five.
It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Our legal analyst, Mike Monaco, has just stepped into the studio. And Mike,
thankfully,
we have a couple of legal issues that we had to work out here.
A lot of legal issues.
And we're going to, chief among them is, can the president just white out things in the Constitution?
Oh, sure. That's what, well, he's the king. He's the king.
So the founding fathers intended.
Yes. And secondly,
yeah.
We know these weren't the founding fathers.
Second to that.
The 16th Amendment. Yeah. You know, or 14th Amendment.
14th Amendment.
Although the 16th Amendment, he's a little unclear about that, too.
Yeah.
So at least Kanye is. And we actually have a list of Kanye's tweets.
Oh, good.
He's tweeting today.
Yeah, that we're going to read for you coming up as well. So we got a lot coming up here on the program. Okay, can I just, let me just ask you a question here.
Sure.
Let's just say the Robert Mueller story, too, which is unbelievable today.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's the world. The world has become a continuous spew of
ridiculousness.
Ridiculousness. It's
there
amazing.
You go. That's the right answer.
Absolutely amazing.
All right. Well, let's go through the Robert Mueller story
sure.
that is breaking today.
Sure.
Turns out that there was a group of folks who were trying to spread malicious rumors about Robert Mueller and were hiring women who were going to claim that Robert Mueller was having an affair with them.
Or sexually abused them. Yes.
Yes.
And this fellow who's this radio personality on the internet today.
Why? It's always a radio guy.
Why is it always a radio guy?
God bless
you. Source of a lot of evil.
I know. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said that there's going to be news, I think, on Thursday, he claims, that Mueller carried a flask in his pocket all the time.
Well, who doesn't?
Was an alcoholic.
Separate issue. Yeah.
And that that there are seven women, he's going to claim, who are going to come forward to say that Mr. Mueller sexually harassed them at some time when he worked in private for a private law firm.
So Peter Carr is a spokesman for the special counsel's office. And he told The Hill in an email, when we learned last week of allegations that women were offered money to make false claims about the special counsel, we immediately referred the matter to the FBI.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But how does that work? Can the FBI... If the FBI would investigate this?
Yeah, they're going to find out who the women are who apparently claim that somebody offered them money to make these false allegations against Mr. Mueller. And then they're going to go interview them. And then they're going to try to find the identity of the people who offered them the money. And somebody could be in trouble for doing all of that.
This man said he was going to have some kind of a news conference on Thursday with one of the women or several of the women who allegedly were sexually assaulted by Mueller. So this is all going to go down. I mean, how could they get in front of that? You'd think they'd have to move pretty quickly with something.
Well, I don't. We'll see if anybody shows up on Thursday. But it's that could be more evidence that somebody did something inappropriate.
There's your October surprise.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I've been waiting for these October surprises. I thought actually taking an eraser to the Constitution was going to be an October surprise. Yeah. That's nothing compared to this.
No big deal.
Or 5,200 soldiers sent to
the border.
The border. Yes. Well, that's, you need them. As we pointed out on the program yesterday, if Canada invaded, we wouldn't send 5,000 troops to the border. Right? I mean, there's 5,000 troops going to the border to take care of what will end up being 126 shoeless people who show up with babies in their arms.
And it's going to be apparently 30 days before they even get there.
Right.
But of course, that will be after the election.
Yes.
So that's not appropriate.
They will be gone by then. Right. I'd say they'll be back at home by Thursday, would be my guess.
But I mean, I'm surprised that the generals allow him to order that.
Hey, they don't allow it. He's the commander in chief.
Well, I know that, but, you know, Kelly has some control over him.
Mattis would be the one that would have to say to him, listen.
Or Kelly, either of them could say, "This is crazy."
Yes, but
you're gonna waste a lot of money doing this,
and potentially put people in harm's way, right? I mean, you're moving 5,000 troops. It's not an easy endeavor.
And, never easy to move people in the military,
right? Exactly. And you're moving them to the U.S. border, where I thought we were not supposed to use for law enforcement purposes,
right.
Which is what this would be, a law enforcement action.
That's true, too.
But he's declaring them invaders, so they can do whatever they want. We got an invasion.
Because he declared them that.
Do you know what this is like? This is like a Bud Light commercial, is what this is like.
He probably learned it from that.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably figured it out from that.
I know what we'll do.
Dilly dilly.
It is amazing. The world is becoming more and more a continuation of these TV shows, personal TV shows.
To separate fact from fiction.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the president this week, after the CNN reporters and the New York Times reporter, I don't know if CNN for sure, received these mailings.
Pipe bombs.
And he says again this week that the news media is the enemy of the people. And you wonder, why would you say that?
Even there was a little bit of breaking ranks in Fox and Friends. There might be only one friend left on Fox and Friends. Because one of the guys on Fox and Friends was like, "Hey, you got to stop this.
You got to stop it.
You absolutely
got to stop it, because it's just like what Stalin said. Stalin called them the enemy of the people. It's like, really? We're going back to that? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
So is this, and I want to let's go back to the Mueller story for a second before we get to the Constitution.
Right.
Which we're going to whitewash that.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. We whitewash things now.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
Jack Berkman?
Yes. Who's the person behind this, who's a talk show host.
Well, that's what we think. I mean, we know he said this. I watched him say it today on the internet, that Thursday they're going to have this one or two women say this.
Berkman has released a statement that on Thursday at noon at the Roslyn Holiday Inn.
Yeah, there you go.
We will present a very credible witness.
I'm surprised it's not a Trump facility.
Who will present a very credible witness who will allege that Mr. Mueller committed against her a sexual assault.
Yeah, right.
Now, if that is in fact, this woman comes forward, that's going to have to be investigated too.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. For and sure.
Now,
not to mention this gentleman, Mr. Berkman.
If Berkman's paying these people and trying to induce them, this woman in an email alleges that Berkman offered her $20,000
plus paying her
and to pay off her credit card debt, plus right. bring me a check for $20,000.
So I'm not sure she says Berkman said that to her. Somebody said that to her on the phone.
This is according to The Hill. The publication.
They're saying that she did identify the caller.
She identified Berkman as the person who's going to pay off her credit card debt, give her $20,000 if she would just do one thing.
Right. But I'm not sure it's Berkman who she says made the call. I think the caller says that there's a fellow in Washington, and I think he may have identified Berkman as that person.
Okay.
But I'm not sure she's going to identify
Berkman. If there's
Berkman
some paperwork that there was some money that exchanged hands and this, you know, it certainly seems they'll figure this out.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I mean,
it's amazing. It's absolutely, it's like since this fellow became president, it's like every day something happens like this.
Right.
It's amazing.
It is. It's very unsettling. And again, I point this out. After all the things that are going well in America, this is a good moment to celebrate some of the things that are going well. And we can't be in a good mood about it because we're kind of scared of because this guy's so, literally drunk with power. All right. Now, this is the other question I have for you.
Yeah.
He thinks he can, by executive order, refine the 14th Amendment.
Right.
And can he do that?
No, he can't do that.
Can an act of Congress do it?
Potentially they could. I mean, they could maybe modify it.
Supreme
Court would have to weigh in on it, that can they do this without a constitutional amendment.
But is maybe that what he's betting, that it goes all the way up and that a more conservative court might actually start looking at the language
to see if
it only applies to slaves and not the children of illegal immigrants?
They just came up with this.
He just did this to do it before the election.
That's what it seems like.
Just
to me.
Strictly before the election. This is not going to happen in a month.
Like his tax cut. Yeah. I think he's just reading Gab.
He's throwing things out.
And he's reading. I mean, he knows where the conservative, there's a certain stream of thought, whether it's on conservative media or some of the more exotic websites.
Yeah, and it is really a shame that he seems to have given some independence or some ability to these to so many people who are racist and anti-Semitic to act in accordance with those horrible feelings. It's just amazing. He seems to promote that.
To me, this is a very tricky line because you can't when you stop and you say that, you know, he's causing this with his rhetoric.
Well,
he's not. He's
certainly promoting it.
Well, I think we have to be very careful how we state that, because I am only responsible for what I say most of the time.
Barely that. Thank God Anna's here.
I don't think that you could take responsibility. You could say all kinds of crazy things.
No, hold on.
And other people make a decision about what they're going to do. However, for him to stop and say, well, it wasn't me, I had nothing to do with this, is wrong as well.
That's for sure.
He's got to stop. He's got to say, like, wait. And he did. I mean, he did, in fairness, he did for exactly 30 seconds decry the bombings, although he didn't say attempted bombings. Mm-hmm. They didn't say who or what or why, right? It was just sort of like these people just kind of did it. And then an hour later was leading a CNN sucks chant.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he did on Saturday, he said all the right things about this horrific attack in Pittsburgh, but then he went to a rally.
Right.
And they played the song Happy, which Pharrell is now trying to get him to stop playing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that he's acting this way, because it just seems to stoke the fervor of people out there who already have these terrible feelings, these anti-Semitic and racist feelings.
Here's the one thing I will agree with. It does make people who have these crazy thoughts in their head feel unencumbered.
It's right.
To share the thoughts.
It's okay to share. I'm white and I'm in charge.
Right.
You know, it's a, like,
finally,
really?
We're back. Really? Nothing ever goes right for the white man in this country.
Right.
And we're finally getting it back.
Such your power back.
I mean, that was the thing. You know, people used to say, well, you know, we're going to take our, like, in you know, 2010, they said, well, we're going to take our country back. And everybody goes, well, that's kind of racist, isn't it?
Yeah.
People go, well, you can't call that racist. Well, now it's clear that that's really what it was about. We're taking our country back from the black guy.
Yeah.
Right? Because we had a black guy there. I mean, that's, you know, people were running around in the three-cornered hats. You know, about doing the whole, like, Tea Party thing.
The Tea Party.
You know, and then we're going to take all of this back. There were some of them. Not all of them, and that wasn't what the whole thing was based on. But there was, trust me, they were dog whistling to a number of people who were like...
Oh, that's what they're saying. I know what they're saying.
Back to a whole other world of, we're not going to let... Now the country's gone too far.
Right. Now we have our president there now. Now we've got our president.
So I think it's a little... there are some people... But he knows he's doing that because he needs... Because he knows he can activate those people and they will
vote going
for
back
him.
To what he said after Charlotte.
Now, the guy who... Now, here's the thing that should be pointed out. He's got surrogates out on television right now, the president does, who are saying, listen... This guy, he had nothing to do with this synagogue shooter because the shooter hated Donald Trump because Donald Trump has Jewish grandchildren and has a Jewish daughter.
Yeah.
And they hated him because he's so pro-Israel and so pro-Jewish causes. And they hated him. This guy, let's be clear, this guy was mad in part because of that, but mostly in part because he didn't feel like the president was going far enough.
Yeah, for sure.
And he was lit up by the invaders, right? I mean, that's what on his gab stream, that's what he was talking about. These invaders are coming. His president's not doing it.
But he said the worst possible things about Jewish people. Amazing. Just right out of the... Out of WW2.
You can't believe what's going on.
You can't believe what's going on.
You really can't believe what's going on.
Neither can Anna.
No, it's true.
She makes sense.
It's hard to make sense of the world.
The two of us, the three here,
would
make sense.
I'm going to read Kanye's tweets coming up in just a minute.
Oh, great.
That'll make sense.
Make everything better.
But first, I would like to find out from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
There will be a lot of uniforms in Rogers Park on Halloween.
Go ahead.
One more thing first. Sorry. Steve Cochran Show, full costume tomorrow. Tune in to see what the crew dresses up as and hear the Halloween fun starting at 6 a.m.
I believe a talk show host earlier today ruined the surprise.
I believe so. Rokan.
I am now going to read Kanye West's tweets from today.
To help us make sense of the world.
I introduced Candace to the person who made the logo, and they didn't want their name on it, so she used mine. I never wanted any association with Blexit. I have nothing to do with it. I support those who risk their lives to serve and protect us. I support holding people who misuse their power accountable. I believe in love. I believe in compassion for people seeking asylum and parents who are fighting to protect their children from violence and war. My eyes are now wide open and now realize I've been used to spread messages I don't believe in. I'm distancing myself from politics and completely focusing on being creative.
Okay. It's probably good for everybody.
Is he taking down the president there? Is that what he's doing?
I don't think so. I mean, it sounds like he's sort of saying, I don't want to be involved in politics. I just want to do my music and people have used me and I'm sorry about that.
Well, remember the Blexit t-shirts and the movement encouraged African Americans to leave the Democratic Party. They said that he was part of the inspiration of that because he said, you know, y'all don't have to vote Democrat all the time. You can vote Republican.
Yeah. That's
and so now he says I'm distancing myself because people were using me.
All right. All right, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here at 720 WGN. Judy Pollack on the news. Violetta Pottermedic on the traffic. And Kevin Powell on the sports. And Mike Monaco as my attorney who has to literally sit next to me right now as we talk to our next guest because I might break the law here during our conversation with Tim Carey, who's an old friend of the show. Tim Carey is one of my favorite guys on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. He is the owner and proprietor.
Oh, come on now.
His family has owned Hawthorne race course since, you know, for 110 years, right?
110, yeah. It'll be 109 years, so 110 next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys, you do an amazing job. You're great for the horse industry, and Illinois horse racing has got a lot of problems now because, you know, the money is drained out of it. The casinos are taking a lot of it. And this is the reason I would like to talk to you about this. It's a big weekend at Hawthorne because it's Breeders' Cup weekend, right. And you got a bunch of events coming up, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But this is where I'm going to break the law. I'm very interested, and I've been very interested, and we had Vic Salerno on a couple weeks, like a week and a half ago.
We remember him.
Vic.
Mm-hmm.
When you pronounce Vic's name, you got to let that. Vic.
He did a lot of who's asking when we ask him questions.
Vic was down.
Only 40 years as a bookmaker out in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, Vic. Everything. Yeah. Vic. Vic, it's Vic the Vig is what is his nickname. He's a guy who went down to Springfield to try to lobby for sports gambling to be legalized in Illinois. And racetracks, I got this idea. I got this crazy idea. And I think it would be good for you.
I think I'm going to like it.
I think it's going to be good for you. I think it's going to, and again, Mike, you're going to have to help me with this, okay?
I'm here, don't worry.
All right, in case I do something illegal.
Right.
It would be good for you. It'd be good for our fine folks, our friends at Arlington. It'd be good for other guys downstate who've got tracks. Is you start because you guys already have gigantic, very television centric places, right?
Right.
Because you walk into Hawthorne, you walk in right. There's betting windows everywhere. There's electronic kiosks everywhere.
And televisions.
Everywhere. How many televisions you got? Total.
One bar has 88 televisions. Just one bar.
Just one bar. Right. So it's the perfect place for sports gaming. Are these tracks? And then you also have the horses on the track that if you don't want to bet on that, you know anything about it. It's pretty to watch.
Right.
Right?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yes.
I mean, it's the most beautiful sport to watch because it is these just majestic animals and these great athletes that are on top of both the horse and the jockey are great athletes.
And I think people don't realize about the athletes. I mean, these are professional athletes.
Oh my God.
They travel from track to track, and they have to watch their weight. They're working out all the time. And they really do. When you think you're on top of a 1,200, 1,400 pound animal controlling this thing, they're phenomenal athletes.
And every race is a death defying spectacle, right?
And it is
amazing. And they have to hold on with their thighs. That's it. It's their hands and their thighs. And you meet these guys.
We have a guy like Randy Meyer. I mean, Randy Meyer broke 52 bones in his body through his career.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Yeah. There have been some.
You know what I mean? So, you're right. It's death-defying.
It's death-defying. It's tough. And the men and women who do this, they're some amazing women, man. Oh, my God. This is really the century of the women in horse racing right now who are stepping up and are great jocks. The skill, the ability, the physical strength, and the knowledge and understanding of that animal that they're getting on. Sometimes it's the first time they're meeting them, right? Is to get on and race them. And oftentimes they're not. But in a lot of these cases at Hawthorne, especially in the early races, you're going to have horses that are relatively new to racing. And you got to have a jockey up there who understands them. And they look each other in the eye and they figure each other out just like that.
Right.
It's amazing to watch.
It truly is. And again, they're just phenomenal athletes. They're great people. I mean, they're really, really great to be around.
The best. And they're polite. We always talk about celebrity athletes, and sometimes they're not as nice when you meet them as you want them to be. These guys are they're like hockey players.
Just going to bring that up. I was waiting for you to do it. Yes, they're very, very much like the hockey players.
Right.
Yeah. Down to earth.
Can't understand a word they're saying. They're speaking English, and you don't understand a single word they're saying because it's in some sort of Cajun broken something or another horse.
Right.
I mean, it is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mike,
I like your idea.
The horses understand what they're saying.
Yeah, the horses do. Well,
what's important.
It's also body and the way they feel. Oh, it's amazing. Amazing what they do. It's such a beautiful sport. But enough about that. Let's go back to Sunday football. Now, on a Sunday, if we could get on a Sunday, you open up Hawthorne and you got all the games on.
Right.
Right? And sports betting, like it is now in New Jersey, it's legal. Mike, it's legal in New Jersey now.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
We get it here in Illinois. It's legal.
Yeah.
What's it going to take for me and Vic to get this done down in Springfield. What do I? Who do I got to see? What do I got to do?
By the way, Vic did a great job down in Springfield.
Were you down there?
I was down there. And I have to say, I think the legislature, they get it. I mean, they really, really do get it. I just think it's a matter of actually doing it. And, you know, and there's talk, of course, of doing it. And I think the Supreme Court's decision back in May really does help that now. I really do think that there isn't anyone down there that doesn't understand the need, number one, for capital in the state of Illinois. They have to do something besides just tax people. And this is an avenue to go down. And I think that they truly, at this hearing at least, the people that were there understood what they were talking about.
So one of the... I got people who say things to me. My friend. So I got a friend. A friend who said to me, why, if sports gambling becomes legal in Illinois, why would anybody leave their bookie? Because they're going to get a better deal from their bookie than they're necessarily going to get if they go through the tax-paying guys.
That's the big question. I mean, and in Vegas, it's 6.75% is the tax. And so in Pennsylvania, it's 39%. And that's the issue that Illinois has, is what is the tax?
39% on the win?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
which is why, and a $10 million buy-in. Which is why no one's doing it in Pennsylvania right now. So Illinois,
$10 million buy-in as a
just
as
have
operator,
a license, yeah, an operator, yeah, yeah. And so that's why in Illinois we're trying to, if you will, educate the people that are out there, the legislators, so that we're not going to have it where people won't want to leave their bookie. We want them to come off of the illegal bookie and come our way.
And
we believe we have the right product to do that. We believe, like you're saying, we have all the TVs, we have all the space. You can bet on horse racing, you can bet on sports betting. I mean, you know, hopefully, of course, there's a gaming bill in there as well so that we can have a casino as part of it. That's the option that's on the table also.
So horse racing. I'm sorry to get back to horse racing here. I really
love much horse racing.
More, really much more I want to talk about Vic and the NFL. But there is something that people don't understand about why there's been a lot of news about horse racing potentially leaving the state of Illinois, because basically up here in Chicago there's two operators left. There's you and Arlington,
yes.
Right? And the Duchessois family is obviously very, very wealthy, and it's owned by Churchill Downs, right? So that's a big
publicly
operation.
Traded.
That's not your situation. Your situation is very different.
We're a family-owned business. We've
right.
been for the 109 years.
Yeah, you're the McCaskies of horse racing is what you are. This is what you guys have always been.
McCaskies, the Wirtz. Yep.
Right, and this is the other side of horse racing. You've seen other tracks in the Chicago area, Maywood, Lead mm-hmm. Sportsman, Maywood, Balmoral, all close up.
Right.
Right?
That's correct.
And this opportunity here to keep horse racing alive, which in horse racing, there are 20,000 jobs in the state of Illinois that are related to horse racing. 20,000 jobs.
And there used to be close to 50, and it's because of the demise. I mean, there was just a full-page article on former Governor Edgar, who is in Indiana now. I mean, he literally has all his horses, really? Both standardbred and thoroughbred horses, in Indiana because he can't make it in Illinois. Right. And that just goes on and on and
because
on.
Because the purses are lower. There's a reason for all of this. There's a lot of inside racing reasons. For it, but horsemen and the tracks cannot make the money they were, because to compete, you're competing with tracks around the country that have casinos attached to them, so the purses are 50%, 100%, 200% higher than they can be in Illinois. So if I'm a horseman and I'm racing, I'm not going to risk moving my horse up to Illinois.
Correct.
When I can make double the money in Canada. Mm-hmm. In, you know, make more money in Indiana, I can make more money in New York or in, you know, places that, you know, are in
even Ohio
Florida.
Now.
Yeah.
Ohio, we never, ever thought. I mean, I always tell this, that historically it's always been nip and tuck, 1-2-2-1, Florida, New York. I mean, California, New York.
Yeah.
Third, historically for thoroughbred racing, has always been Florida. Fourth has always been Illinois.
Right, Kentucky being one. Yeah.
Being, exactly. Yeah. And so with that, now we're probably 22nd, 26th in the country. And
yeah,
it's because, and we never, ever, Ohio wasn't even on the map for horse racing. And yet now, Ohio is kicking our butt in terms of horse racing.
Okay, have I broken any laws?
No, you're good so far.
Okay, so here's my proposal.
Uh-oh.
So we go down to Springfield.
Listen in, Mike.
So we go down to Springfield and we write the legislation and then we sign it.
Can you imagine that? Someone actually signing gaming legislation?
Signing the gaming legislation. And what I do is, I don't know who the governor is going to be when we do this. Well, maybe we want to do it right now with Rauner. Before we write it, we get it all done. We claim that it got passed after the House. We get it to him. We sign it. We get it done before Tuesday. What do you think? Have I broken the law yet, Mike?
Yeah, close. I think now we're getting closer.
It is kind of strange having this big-time attorney next to me here. I feel very protective.
By the way, Tim, let me tell you something. If he's sitting next to you, I've got to be careful. Any other time or any other place,
Ron,
it's not a good situation for you. All right, Tim Carey's with us. Hold on one second. We'll come right back. We'll talk about the Breeders' Cup a little bit here people who want to. This is a great weekend just to turn on your TV and watch this.
Absolutely. And $28 million worth of purses they're giving out over the weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, go to Hawthorne and check it out there. And you get to see there's one bar with 88 TV screens. Right. And you put $2 on a horse. I'll give you a horse to put $2 on right here for the Breeders' Cup Classic. But first, right now, we check in with Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Mayor Emanuel calls a new Trump idea election season catnip.
Tonight on WGN TV News at 9, in 2016, Russian hackers targeted the Illinois Board of Elections. How secure is next week's election, 1 week from today?
Oh, I'm sure it's fine.
Joe Donlin reports tonight on WGN TV News at 9. Take a look at that.
All right. Tim Carey is here from Hawthorne. Big weekend at Hawthorne. It's the Breeders' Cup, the 2018 Breeders' Cup. It's a great festival of racing. It starts Friday. It's Friday and Saturday. But it is also, what is very important about it, is the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is probably the best single race every year. We talk about the Kentucky Derby, but that's three-year-olds. This is the best horses in the world, all competing for millions of dollars, the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I can give you the superfecta right here. But you got to box it. I'm not going to give it to you in any particular order because it's going to rain, right?
Yes, rain's definitely going to be a factor. If you're handicapping, it looks like it is going to rain down in Kentucky, and so it's going to rain all day. The turf is going to be soft. So any turf racing that you might be handicapping as well, keep that in mind.
Yes, we got to be very, very worried about that. All right, here are your four horses that are going to be at the final four. Number 6, McKinsey.
Like it.
Number 9, Mendelssohn.
Okay.
Number 14, Accelerate. And the shipper from Japan, Yoshida.
Everyone's talking about Yoshida.
There you go.
Yeah, Mott.
Those are your four.
Right?
Yes, yeah. Bill Mott.
Bill Mott.
All right, those are your four. Take that to the bank. We'll place that tomorrow. All right, thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. Good friend. You're great for horse racing.
You're great for horse racing, too, Ro. Anything you can do to help us out, we greatly, greatly appreciate it.
See, I just did that so he would say that to me. All right, it's the only person who's ever said that to me, and no one has ever said has actually meant it. Judy Pilex is coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokaw Joe with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN. Adam Hogue is joining us, our Bears insider. And Kevin Powell is joining us, our Bears outsider. And
Adam Roez's Patrick Mahomes jersey on right now is Kansas City Chiefs jersey. I just want to let you know.
Yep.
Oh, man. It seems like everyone does these days.
Tell me about it.
Like Patrick
Welcome
Mahomes.
Welcome to my world.
What is wrong with you people? I love Patrick Mahomes.
He's a good guy.
He is a good. That is a very, very, very good young football player right there.
But time will tell if Trubisky. I mean, Trubisky, boy, I really have so much hope in him and faith.
He's a top 10 quarterback right now. I feel like people don't realize it's just because Patrick Mahomes is incredible.
Right.
Good for him.
Adam, the past four games, Bears offense averaging 32 points per game. They've scored 17 touchdowns in that span, nearly 1,800 yards of offense.
Can you repeat all of that again?
Yes, I mean, 32 points per game,
sure
17 touchdowns. They've recorded 1,800 total yards, and they've scored 131 points over the past four games, most in scoring 147 in weeks 2 through 5 in 1989. So I'd say the offense, led by Mitch Trubisky's off, having a pretty decent run here. Now, I will say this. I realize when people want to pull the hair out of their head is because when he's missing by a wide margin. And then the inaccuracy is exposed. But overall, it does feel different with Trubisky and this offense than what we've seen in the past, I don't know, at least a decade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do we remember what we were talking about this time last year? Tariq Cohen
was their only weapon.
and he was playing like 20% of the snaps because Dow Loggins didn't know how to use him. I mean, it's remarkable how far this offense has come in a year. And look, I get it. You're
it's
right.
It's not Mahomes.
Exactly. This is driving me crazy. It is driving me crazy.
Does Trubisky get this too? I mean, are people asking him this? Because I hope that he's shielded from some of that. Because it just doesn't seem fair.
Look, when you're missing, and he does have like three throws a game where you're like, what? How could you miss by that much?
Right.
And I watched it all again this morning on the All 22, and there was definitely some misses that you're just like, come on. But, I mean, what they're doing as a unit overall and his operation in the offense, you just hope if he can figure out some of these easy throws that he is missing, there's still improvement, which is incredible to think of.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle Long, who is working completely on replacement parts, at this point, right, is now going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. Ouch. We hope it's on the short side, but, you know, this is the same foot. Now, it's a foot injury because they can't call it an ankle injury because that ankle has already been fully replaced.
It doesn't have a right ankle anymore.
Right. What's the closest thing? That is the ankle of a sheep that he has in there right now. So I'm not sure what their... I'm not sure what any kind of prognosis there is for him for the remainder of the season. I know that they want us to be optimistic about it. I, however, am not. So, next man up, Adam Hogue.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Well, it's going to be a combination of, Eric Kush and James Daniels.
Now, Kush was guard last week.
He was out last, yeah.
Well, they've been splitting time at left guard for a few weeks now, and then Eric missed this last game because he's got a stinger in his neck that he's been dealing with. But Matt Nagy already said he should be back this week. So at least the two guys that are going to be out there this week playing guard have been out there playing, and I think James Daniels has a bright future ahead of him, too. He's still a rookie. So
you know, he does, actually. They were calling his name on Sunday, right? Didn't they, because of, there were a couple plays that very, very rarely do you get offensive linemen, you know, get called out by the television broadcast. And I think on two occasions they mentioned him. So, and the people like him, right? He's really athletic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought he'd be a center when they drafted him because that's where he played so well at Iowa the last few years. But he had experience at guard, too, and that's where they're trying to play him. And he's playing fine. I mean, there's a couple things here and there he can tighten up, but he's been good. And so I hate to say that Kyle Long's replaceable. He's a really good player, but this is an area where they actually do have some depth. And
I know, shouldn't be worried. You're telling me I should not be worried.
Well, and the guy behind them is somebody named Brian Witzman, who was with Matt Nagy and started 13 games for the Chiefs last year. So I don't necessarily know that he's going to be a Pro Bowler at any point in his career, but he's somebody Matt Nagy's familiar with and has played in this offense before. So there is depth at this position.
How about Cody Whitehair?
OB's guy. No, they're going to leave him at center, though, right? You're probably going to see Daniels stay at left guard, and they'll probably put Kush at right guard. Maybe Witzman will get some time in a week or two when he's, you know, been around the team a little bit longer.
And by the way, guys, I was watching again closely today. There's actually a good angle where you can see Deion Sims basically sit on Kyle Long's ankle.
Yeah, it looked painful.
And it looked terrible. The fact he's not out for the year, I think, is a plus.
Well, it's not.
For certain, yes.
You can't break the ankle. First of all, the ankle has, like, tendons that were started in another animal and ended up in his leg.
He did shred everything in his ankle except the Achilles. Every single tendon was shredded
that
in that ankle.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
And this is the same one, so it's pretty remarkable, actually, that there's even a chance he could come back for maybe the last month of the season.
Hey, what'd you make of today's trade deadline? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I can't remember the last time we saw this amount of trades in the NFL. You saw the Packers make two deals. The Lions made a trade. Just trading in general this year has been up. I mean, it started with Khalil Mack, too, but it's just you normally don't see this many moves in the NFL.
Ha-ha Clinton Dix is now a Redskin. Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
That's his name?
Yes.
Ha-ha Clinton Dix.
It was a good day for the Bears. Golden Tate's been a problem for the Bears in the past. He's now out of the division. You don't have to play the Eagles this year. That's where he went. And then HaHa Clinton Dix, I don't understand this trade for the Packers. They're going to lose him in the offseason. They knew that. So this is almost like a baseball trade deadline type deal where you're like, all right, let's get something for him now because we know we're going to lose him. And so it's a matter of just a compensation draft pick. I mean, it really is like a baseball trade. But here's the deal. This is still the NFL, and you're at 500. You still have 9 games to play.
Bizarre.
Why are you trading a starting safety that you need the rest of the year for a fourth-round pick? I just did not understand that move. It helps the Bears out a lot.
Because that's a name that gets called a lot in Bears-Packers games.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Really. Well, Ty Montgomery, the running back, has had some big runs against the Bears, too.
Well, he had to go after.
He had to go after what happened against the Rams. He getting fights on the sideline or tantrums, and then he fumbles the ball in the kickoff when he was supposed to take a knee with 2 minutes left, and Aaron Rodgers is on the sideline. You're down by a point.
If Aaron Rodgers is mad at you, you're getting cut or traded. That's how it works.
So good day for the Bears at the trade deadline. Huge,
and they didn't have to do anything.
Right?
They didn't move anybody. You know, Dr. and Mrs. Clinton Dix, who named their son HaHa.
I did not know there was a HaHa.
Yeah, HaHa. Oh yeah, that's when he got drafted. Remember,
it's a Bama guy, right?
Yeah, in college. Yeah. There you go. The guy's name really is HaHa Clinton Dix. Not unlike He Hate Me, which was the guy who made up his name.
XFL
player. He Hate Me. This guy's really his name is HaHa.
That's his name.
It's not a nickname.
Nope.
Hey, well, I think it's Hashawn.
Oh, is it a nickname?
HaHa.
It's on
his birth certificate. We saw it.
Adams.
Oh, you're right. It is Hashawn.
Sunday, Bills, all sorts of trouble at the quarterback spot. Do you rest Khalil Mack again? Because this is very much a winnable game. The offense is
no. No, I don't want to even hear about this. If he's healthy, you play him.
Look,
you know why?
This guy is now. Look at how tough.
Yeah, but you know why? When's the last time the Bears went on the road? Did you guys watch that game in Miami?
Yeah.
Did you see who started? Brock Osweiler?
It's true.
It's not that big of a difference here. And the Bills have a good defense. So, if he's not 100% and it's still kind of iffy and that's the part of the decision-making, fine. But if he's healthy again, you don't sit him just because you're playing the Bills. The Bills' defense, for the most part yesterday, shut down the Patriots and was holding them the field goals. And so you got to be careful with this team. I don't think it's a team that you can just say, oh, we're going to go in there and blow them out, especially given how the Bears played in Arizona and played in Miami. Those were games that were a lot tighter than they should have been.
Okay.
I actually do.
I agree with you. I don't think they're actually going to blow them out. I don't know what the line is right now.
It's actually 10. It opened up at 8, and then when everyone found out Nathan Peterman was starting, it already went to 10.
Nathan Peterman has 9 interceptions in 81 career pass attempts. I mean, just the name Nathan Peterman does not scare you. Nathan Peterman's like your professor in high school.
Nathan Peterman, right, exactly. My taxes are due. So for the quarterly, Nathan, should I be...
Right. He does not sound like an NFL quarterback.
So Eddie Goldman tackles Nathan Peterman. And it's literally going to sound like my agent and my accountant were called in on the play.
Goldman and Peterman. I did see a report. Former Bear Matt Barkley was potentially going to be brought in. That's how desperate they are at the quarterback spot. Did you hear anything about that, Adam?
Yeah, I saw that. It sounds like he's going to be the backup. So
we might see Matt Barkley on Sunday. Peterman might be pulled at half. I mean, this guy is really, really bad.
Hey, Matt Barkley's the one that scored the original Philly that the Eagles stole from the Bears in the Super Bowl. People keep forgetting that came from the Bears.
That's right.
All right.
And Barkley was the one who ran it.
That was
down memory lane here.
Yeah. And that was as we recall, that was of course the great John Fox era.
Dark times in Chicago. Oh,
totally. And the Cutler era.
By the way, speaking of head coaches for the Bears, the Bears put out, if you're diehard Bear fans, this is must watch. Matt Nagy was mic'd up for Sunday's game, and they put out on social media like a 4 or 5 minute video of just Nagy on the sideline, and it's awesome. You get a pretty good insight on Matt Nagy.
He seemed really stressed out on Sunday.
Yeah, but when you listen to how he sounds, he doesn't sound stressed. Like he's just having a good time. Does look a little stressed. It's the NFL.
So it's the kind of thing they release it afterwards.
They just put it out today. They're like, here's Coach Matt Nagy mic'd up. Not everything, of course. They're going to edit out a lot of stuff, but it's cool to see him interact with the players. I'm just saying, it's must watch if you want to get a little inside look on Matt Nagy and how he rolls.
I actually didn't see that yet, so I will check that out. He is...
On the Bears Twitter account.
Buffalo scares me. I'm sorry. It scares me.
The road games are true. Now that you bring up Arizona and Miami, okay. All right.
Road game, and this is one where they want to look past, right? Their bye week is over, right? So they got three straight
division games.
Yes.
You got to win this one. Because then you go to Detroit, Minnesota, Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's really going to kind of set the tone of where this season is at. 3 weeks right in the gut of the season, divisional games, which is very tight right now.
This will be the
got to win this one.
Oh,
do you guys realize how many points the Bills are averaging over the last five games?
Wait, what is it? It's got to be awful.
It's seven.
Five.
Seven?
Seven? Seven. I was kidding, but five.
And remember, when we started this segment, Bears, the past four games, are averaging 32 points per game.
Yes. How about that?
Okay.
So they should find a way.
So never mind. I'm back on the blowout train.
It's a blowout.
You scared me for a minute. Now I'm back on the blowout train.
Okay. I am a little nervous.
Hi, I'm Nathan Peterman. I'm here to play quarterback.
Yeah, get out of here, buddy. You're not fooling anybody.
No, I don't need a ticket. I'm actually the quarterback. And you're going to have to let me in, otherwise they're going to have to use Matt Barkley, and I'm supposed to be the starter. Would you like to call the coach? I don't have his extension right now, but if you could call, he's wearing headphones. Go ask him.
All right,
Nathan Peterman. All right, we'll hear from Nagy tomorrow. We'll probably know more on Kyle Long, correct? Yes.
Well, with this to know, I mean, 6 to 8 weeks. We won't hear anything for.
We'll see. It might give a little more details on it.
When do we learn about Khalil Mack if he's playing?
Probably Sunday.
Yeah, I imagine they'll rest him again, maybe try to practice him Friday. Friday will be the big indication of whether or not he plays.
Adam, you're the Bears insider. This is what we pay you for. You're sure. Up there.
Pressure.
Can you find out what exactly is wrong with his ankle? Is it a high ankle sprain? Do we know?
Because
those are the harder ones to recover from. Yeah, that's the inside.
That's the more severe one.
Yeah.
I think I told you guys this a couple weeks ago too. I mean, they've been hiding him from us.
Yeah, we haven't talked to him in 2 or 3 weeks now, Adam.
This is your job.
I understand.
To find him,
hide in his car when he gets in his car, pop out of the back seat, and say, "Khalil, you
just
have a minute.
Do it." What could
I
happen?
Will say, the more this goes, like week to week, high ankle sprains are usually like 4 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And now it's been 3. So that might actually.
But he did play for two of those.
And you look at the replay, though. I hate to say this, it looked more like an Achilles injury than an ankle.
God, why would you say something like that? Oh, you're ruining my whole thing.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Don't you say that?
Oh God.
Well, then rest him. I mean, or a limited duty, right? I mean, they could do that too.
I will say they got to get him back to how he was playing the first four games. He was just incredible. It was a different level, and they obviously missed that right
now.
Yes,
for sure.
We need that guy back.
For sure. Although, Roquan Smith, playing great.
Yes, he is.
Right? I love watching him play.
And
his speed, he is fun to watch.
Doris Harrison Rogers. What is the guy with the three names?
Roy Robertson Harris.
Yes, yeah.
Right. The whole defensive line really has played well this year.
Yeah. He's a lot of... That guy, Anna, you were at the game. If people get a chance to go to the game when they're back here at playing Detroit in 2 weeks, that guy stands on the sideline. It's like he's like the Sears Tower, towering over everybody else. Is he 7 feet tall? How tall is he?
Roy Robertson Harris, I believe, is 6'6".
Yeah, large man.
Yeah,
large man.
Yeah. He's big. He's big. I think he's bigger than 6'6". I'm going to take out a ruler, and I'm going to say, Roy, could you stand right there? Nathan Peterson for the defense. Could you stand right there?
6'7".
6'7". There you go.
Dr. Peterman's coming in here.
Yes. Right, Nathan's going to take time. He's going to take time out
get
of medical.
Get physical for you, Roy. We'll give you a full
school.
Detail, right?
He's coming in from his medical school and to play quarterback, and he's going to go right back out. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, thanks,
thank
Adam.
You, Adam Hogue. He's the Bears insider right now. Let's check in with Judy. Oh, no, Andrea. Andrea, and find out what's happening in the WGN newsroom.
Hello to everybody. Well, a Chicago police officer shot this afternoon when his gun accidentally discharged. We'll tell you all about it coming up at 7 o'clock.